Okay, hi. We're here. It's episode 1000 of Orange Sounds Radio tonight, which is pretty wild to think about. But we thought, for the special occasion, we would, well, first, we're together in person for the first time since COVID happened, actually, which is all of us, which is pretty wild to think about. So that's been a real treat. We actually thought we would kind of do the special opening tonight at the diner that's right over there that is surprisingly still open after, we all met, 24 years ago, right?
It's been a long time, yeah.
This show's been going for, 22, but we met in 2000, right? So we met all that time ago, and it's wild that that's still open. Golfland's still open, which is really the place where we met, right? And but it's also kind of interestingly, I guess, poetic in a way that all these places are still going and here we are still going this time later. I don't know. It's neat to think about.
But things change. They don't have cheese sticks anymore. No mozzarella sticks.
What
the heck?
No, and there's no DDR machines or probably anything that doesn't spit out tickets in there at all.
For sure, but
no, if you want to see that, so you're gonna go round one on the other side of the freeway at this point.
That's what the good stuff is.
That's the newfangled stuff. That would be like the new podcasts about DDR and that sort of thing that probably have no idea we exist, and that's fine.
Back in our day, it's a big internet. We went to Golfland to play the Deeders.
We're the we're the senior citizens of gaming podcasting at this point.
Bitch, I'm fabulous.
Okay, you know what? There will always be the grandma that plays Skyrim. That will be the true.
I'm like the drunk aunt who gives your kids all the candy and shit,
mm-hmm.
and then just doesn't tell mom.
Mm-hmm.
Here's candy. Here's my Super Nintendo. Go have fun.
So on tonight's show, obviously, we'll talk a lot about just how it feels to be 1,000 years old or whatever we're celebrating tonight. But let me ask this question to kind of start us off at the top. 1,000 episodes in, from June 2002. Hi. Oh, you should have been filming this the whole time. Okay. Look.
Alternate angle.
1,000 episodes in, some things don't change. We're still making it up as we go along.
Stop giving away our secrets. Jeez, Rad.
What's the secret to longevity with a podcast? Fake it. No. I was going to say 1,000 episodes in. Let me just ask this right at the top. How does it feel? From June to now. June 2002 to now.
I don't know.
It feels numb.
Okay, I'm too short. Here, you take it back.
Okay.
I just had to let you talk with your hands for a bit.
And if the chat room is saying get a tripod, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Look, I left mine at home, sorry.
At a lot of different panels about podcasting and things at Dragon Call and stuff, people are like, oh, we got to have the right equipment. What equipment do you need to podcast?
You need
what do
you arms. Need to
do? You don't need anything. You need a phone. You need a phone and a dream. And if this doesn't show that, if nothing else, all you need is a phone. You need a tin can microphone from Radio Shack because they were still around in 2002 and a dream.
God, I have Lavellian mics that go with iPhones. Oops.
Oh, well. Okay. Tangents. They're inevitable. How does it feel? I'll go to you then, Loki. How does it feel 1,000 episodes?
It feels exactly the same. I don't know. It's hard to, think about time like that because we hit all these different milestones that seem kind of ridiculous. And now it's just part of our life. It is literally getting to the point now. We're almost past where I have been doing the show more than I have. There's been more time me doing this show than there has been me not doing this show. So
that's so weird.
It's getting to that point, in my life where it's like this is just what we do on Sundays, and so it's kind of amazing. I wish that would make a huge difference as far as wow, look at this show now. I've just discovered them because they've hit 1,000 episodes. But no, it's fine. It'll be just our community.
There's
that
1,000 podcasts putting out their first episode this week, and it can be a real struggle to kind of stand out sometimes. But that's what it is, right?
Exactly.
We're fortunate to have the group that we have. You know, I'm pretty sure we're going to have a nice, solid chat show up tonight for the show. And it's a lot of faces that we've seen throughout the last few months and faces we haven't seen in a while.
A fruit basket.
I know, right?
Yeah. Travis, thank you for having me on Under Sedation a lot.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people to thank for 1,000 episodes, right? Travis, absolutely, for demonstrating to us firsthand that any idiot can podcast, and we are living proof of that right now.
Sometimes you can wear a bra on your head and call yourself Queen Amidala.
which is a real thing. I would say this show just simply doesn't exist if not for Jason.
Yeah.
I think our voiceover guy, Jason, I don't think many of you understand from a like technical support, financial oftentimes, and all that stuff perspective, how Jason has really helped keep this show afloat. And so if he's in chat tonight, I hope you all show him a lot of love, because he really is that kind of like invisible fourth chair here on the show, which was visible for actually quite a long period of time when he was coming out here often.
Yeah.
But Jason is huge and instrumental in this. Obviously, Bobby, having worked with Bobby Blackwell for years, and Bobby, I think, saved this show from ending the first time. You know, our long history from Life 365 to where we're at now on Twitch, Bobby kind of saved us from pulling the plug when Life 365 was no longer a viable option for us. You know, and then that's...
Which is, by the way, Life 365 is still there.
They are, but it's a different thing now. It's,
but
yeah.
I just think it's funny, speaking of the it things is. Before that we're still...
It's like LiveJournal's still there, but it's not really LiveJournal, right?
Yeah. I still have a permanent account.
I know. But that is even outside of just like... that, or that's even just like then the friendship that we have, and, you know, just having the whole, as he puts it, opening act, which, you know, we don't really see it the same way, but we see it as co-headlining, but all these years. So obviously Bobby's been instrumental in that. And there's so many other people, like, on a personal level. I'm always worried about thanking people because I'm going to leave people out.
Hey, people, thanks.
Yeah. If you're watching this, seriously, or listening to this, thanks. Because it's really everybody showing up to the table that has kept us.
Thank you, and not this way, because this one's bitch. Yeah, I'm not calling y'all bitches. I'm saying thank you.
Just, yeah, thanks for being a part of our lives for the last 21 years.
Absolutely.
And thank you for letting us be a part of yours, even if it's for a few hours.
Yeah. So, with that, I guess we will start the official intro to episode number 1,000.
Too much metal for one hand? That's us.
Two hands. Split it up. Two hands.
No, we're too much metal for one hand. Instead of like that, we're like that.
Roll the intro.
The Pretendo Group is breathing new life into the Wii U's online capabilities with nothing but a DNS change. I'm stuck in the middle of my gaming fandom enjoyment of this reveal, my awe of the technical elegance, but my concern for any possible future ramifications. I've successfully buried the lead because this is the 1,000th episode of Orange Lounge Radio. And now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to talk about that and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on this show's 1,000th episode.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back once again, dare I say, for the 1,000th time to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, April the 14th of 2024, with episode number, have you heard? 1,000 of our show, as we have been doing every week since June 2002 until now. Here we are, and here all of you are, and honestly, because we do tape live, of course, every Sunday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwell Show at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. And I am blushing because you all are, like, going wild with this hype train in chat right now. We are up to a level 11 hype train on chat. That is huge. Hi, Dark Soccer, Jamie Stars. Hello. What?
What? But this one goes to 11.
It does. Literally, this episode is going to 11. That is how you celebrate 1,000 episodes, is you just turn it up even louder. Hi, Dark Soccer, or Jamie Summers. It is great to see you. For those that are listening on the podcast feed, Dark Sakura has put her VTuber in the bin for tonight and has put on her best drag to be here for you all live in person.
This is not my best drag, but it's suitable.
You look lovely.
Thank you. Now that means I can go back to terrorizing everybody with doing weird stuff on cam.
Just remember, the podcasters don't care. We love our podcast crowd too.
Yeah, well, we love you, but I still like to play with the camera. I'm here.
And we'll catch up a little more in just a minute. Let's say hello as well, of course, to the one and only playing with the camera with games in his background as we're streaming live here on Twitch. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Loki?
Doing pretty good.
What is this game behind you tonight? I don't recognize it. It's got to be a pun on a thousand somehow.
It is not a pun on a thousand. Oh, it is a brand new game that just came out. It is the video game adaptation of Turbo Kid. So Turbo Kid's kind of like a cult classic post-apocalyptic kind of 80s style movie. And this game kind of takes place after the events of that movie. And it's a great Metroidvania game that we'll talk about a little bit more later.
Okay, I was getting Metroidvania vibes from it. You know I love me a Metroidvania, so that's great. I think you have some friends in chat tonight. You must have put out the word on your YouTube channel.
I pimped out stuff, yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, hello to the Loki OLR Minecraft community that's showing up tonight. And hello to all of you in chat. What a great turnout. And again, we're all blushing all sorts of colors here with the hype train you have going. We do pay money to keep ourselves a legit business and all that, but thanks to the generosity of you all, it's very little out of pocket we have to do that. So it helps us do the show for free, which we love to do. We've loved to do this for every week for the last 1,000 weeks, and we're gonna keep it going tonight. I hope you all enjoyed our little reminiscing intro tonight. We really did go out to Golfland today. We were originally going to record that at the diner, but silly me in planning this whole thing kind of forgot, like, oh, it's Sunday after church, brunch crowd. It was packed and very, very noisy. When we used to go after Golfland nights, it was very quiet in there because we were usually the only ones in there that late. So it was a very different vibe today. So oops. So we had to mix it up a little bit. So but I hope you enjoy our special intro tonight. And hello to all of you in chat. I gave a shout out. Yes, Arrington 20 says Loki fan club. LOL. Yes, got the shout out for that. Missing No 1115 says love you guys, been listening for 15 years. No, I don't feel old at all tonight. No, I love that. I love it. No, y'all making me blush. Some of you have been listening for a very long time, and I think it's really a testament to you all that have helped us get this far by being here and supporting and giving us things to talk about and making it so that we're not just talking to ourselves. I do like to think we would have a lot of fun with the show if we were talking to ourselves. I mean, that opening tonight was just us talking to ourselves, but this show is just that much more elevated because you are all here and you're a part of it. And I can't thank you enough. Yeah. So usually at the top of the show, we would do a kickoff topic talking about something going on in video games. But since, you know, the news this week would be, this is, you know, not to toot our own horn too much, but you know what? God damn it. After 1,000 episodes, toot fucking toot.
We are the news.
This is a historical thing. We are the first podcast to hit 1,000 weekly episodes. Yes, there's, you know, and again, I've said this a million times. There's other people that count the numbers differently and do all these things. I'm never here to crap on anybody else and the accomplishments. Quite honestly, if you have put out 5 episodes of a podcast, you've done an incredible fucking thing that not a lot of people do. So I'm never here to poop on anyone else's accomplishments. There's lots of great, you know, accomplishments, things have done and measured in different ways. And that's great. But, you know, for us, having done this in an era before podcasting, really continuing merging it into podcasting before iTunes was in the game. And now to where we're at now is just, it's been a hell of a run. And I thought we'd take some time at the beginning of the show to answer a few questions, panel style. You know I love me a panel at a fan convention. I'll be at Dragon Con Labor Day weekend, by the way. Hope to see you there. And we'll answer a few questions about this show and what it means to be at 1,000 episodes. So, and if you want to add some in chat, I'll try to catch some in chat. There's a lot of you in there tonight. I'm glad you all, oh, that's a fancy animated emoji everybody got tonight for the hype train. That's pretty cool. So, if you have other questions, we'll try to get to as many as we can, but here are a few submitted online, submitted just asking me personally about it or texting me, or yeah, me begging people, ask us a question for tonight and so forth. Here are some questions to jump in. So the first question tonight here on episode 1000, what would you go back and change about episode one? Is there anything you'd go back and change about episode one? Loki, I'll start with you. What would you go back and change about episode one?
I mean, we could have had some better mics, but I mean, that's fine. It's like the first episode and we're on dial up at that point. I mean, it wouldn't really matter. Like, it just wouldn't. No, I wouldn't change anything.
I need more chairs. I would change one thing.
Get some more chairs.
Dark Sakura, what would you change?
The freaking migraine I had through the first episode. Oh my God. My head was a wreck. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it was cool to do. It was like ours. Mm-hmm. It was our thing.
Yeah.
We said we're going to produce this spawn of our brains, and it was good.
It was, I like the vibe,
kind of a clusterfuck, but it was good.
Yeah, I like the vibe of the first episode because it was kind of like, it would be like recording a podcast in the middle of like a party kind of environment, mm-hmm. almost, or nerd party, if you will, because it was just
a
bunch
like
of people
that
in
for the first couple years.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, it was just like just people coming over, hanging out, playing, you know, music games and stuff like that. And just people sliding in and out of like, hey, I got something to say on the mic. Let me say something. Hey, let's talk about this. Let's, you know, it was just kind of very casual, you know, and very informal, kind of a really fun vibe for, I think, the first few episodes, yeah. Or first few years, actually. So now we're completely professional. So we you know, that's behind us, of course. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. A couple answers I would have for this. You know, there is a part of me that almost wishes the early episodes had a little more structure, but I also feel like the complete and utter lack of structure was kind of what made it like special, you know, and what made it a lot of fun. And had that atmosphere. You know, I think also some of the, you know, the language differences in the year 2002. Like, I know we went back, I think when we hit our 19th anniversary, we went back and listened to episode one. And we honestly thought it would be a lot worse, but I think I caught the R slur in there, which, you know, language has changed. And, you know, there's been awareness and advocation and so forth. So obviously some of that is regrettable. But, you know, it is an artifact of the year 2002.
Yeah.
So some of that I wish was different. It doesn't age well, but I also recognize we didn't know better. Now we do.
Right, and it was also like, yeah, there are some things that I think jokes that we kind of took, like, kind of the whole Cards Against Humanity type of humor, you know, and thought that was kind of cool for a lot of, like, some of the jokes that we made on there, but mm-hmm. yeah, it isn't always that funny. I don't know.
Also in our 20s.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
And exactly. I'm sorry, there are a lot of stupid things you do and say in your 20s. That's yeah. just how it is. And yeah, regrettable, but also, I mean,
find me,
I can't go back and change anything.
Find
so,
me somebody,
I mean,
who's perfect. Oops. There's gonna be things that, well, shows that start today there's gonna be things that for shows that start today that look back in 20 years and we go, oh, that didn't age well, you know, that there, it's just yeah. it's gonna happen. We can learn from it and we can do better, and I hope everybody has found that has been the case here. I hope so. We want to create a welcoming environment, because everybody, or gaming is for everyone, period.
And to respond to SSJ100, Matt's I'll friend your bud, that wasn't any of us that said that. That was from that Seaman video.
Yeah, that was
so like, it was the
yeah.
person who did the Seaman video. we need funny. To find them and send them like some cookies.
Yeah, some yeah.
Thank you for the material. We're not going to friend your butt, but we'll give you a cookie.
We can't even remember the YouTuber's name. Maybe somebody out there knows that. Because I really do not know. So, all right. Let's get to the next question, which would be, what is the secret to keeping it all going for this long? Dark Sakura, what is the secret to keeping it all going for this long?
Habit?
Mm-hmm.
My Sunday doesn't feel right without it. I mean, it's just what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, just like doing anything that you find enjoyable, that you know, are gratified by, and that you feel connected to other people with. You know, why do people do convention circuits for years? Why,
yeah, Rama?
Well, I wasn't just thinking of.
I'm Rama. Calling him out. I'm calling him out. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing but love.
Why? Why do you know? Why, no matter whatever happens, I always go back to do stuff in Mass Effect. I mean, it's kind of just like,
why is why is Loki's gaming week always fucking Minecraft? Like, there's certain comfort food. No,
I only have time for that.
Why do I play Dead by Daylight, you know, at least twice a week? I mean, I used to play every...
Final Fantasy 14, just as bad. We're all guilty of our comfort food games, right?
It's just the thing. It's what we do, you know? If I can't put, like, an immediate why on it, I guess, or a how. We just keep doing it, and we keep trying to do it, you know, better. But unless somebody wants to just give us a gift of, you know, $25,000.
Well, that's a pretty good start tonight.
y'all are paying the bills for like the next couple months. So thank you.
Literally having just done taxes this week, cause I'm a big procrastinator, and looking at, you know, the Vogue paperwork as a part of that, you all help that happen so that there's some out of pocket that happens, but it's not nearly as much as it used to be when we were paying for our own radio feed, let me tell you. So yeah, you all are and we're very, very thankful for that. Anyway,
and I think that we've gone full circle back, coming back to Twitch since we had our Justin TV days.
And
it's like this really weird extended family. You know, it kind of is almost like that community feeling I used to get back on AOL back in the day, where you had your RP friends and you would always meet in like the town square, Sailor Moon or Kuno's Island or whatever that sparring ring room was, and you know, hang out with your friends. It's just our weekly hangout.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk about video game news because you gotta have something to talk about that isn't food.
Well,
or Drag Race.
And we all like video games for sure. But, yeah. And all those other topics come up too. I would really kind of copy that answer, look over your shoulder and write the same thing, because I think habit is a big part
Cheater.
Of that. And community. It is ironic that our original plan today got blasted out a little bit by the church crowds, because I think in some ways this is a very similar thing to church. And, you know, I think I've made this analogy before. And again, I'm not trying to sound, you know, like it's actually religious or spiritual or anything like that. But I think church is a very big habit for a lot of people that is community and all of that. And you do.
Are you saying we're a cult? Thing.
No, I am not saying we're a cult.
Tax exempt status.
Woo!
But
the church of OLR.
This is that thing that people show up to hear Loki preach about what fucked up thing Nintendo did this week. But no, in all seriousness, like this is that community. It's still that community. It's habit. And the habit part is huge. You really do have to prioritize. You want the secret to keeping it all going for this long? You have to prioritize it. The minute you start making excuses for why the show can't happen, the show's going to slip. And you know, there have been weeks that we've missed, but we'd really try to keep that sparing. Like, even when, and we've all had tragedy, but personally, when my mom passed away, I really worked to get back here after 2 weeks. And that's not, you know, that's it's just because
I kind of needed OLR as that, like, I need to find my routine again and find normalcy and what doesn't feel normal in that whole situation. Yeah. So,
I mean, God, I mean, like, we've all lost people in our lives throughout the show, and we've all kind of been here for each other, I think.
Absolutely. And we've seen people born. Loki's got Spawn now, you know, friends of the show.
Went in high school.
I was just getting texted pictures of the Mels who were here on episode 6, I think, back because Mel B was a huge freestyler in DDR, and his wife and I have been BFFs for a long time. But I was getting pictures of their daughter, you know, today.
You know, Melody and I are sort of co-workers right now.
Yeah, it's just, and it's small world. It's great. So
I'm co-workers with Drew.
Loki,
I need to text his butt and say, get in the chat.
Loki, oh my God, Big Red Pimp in chat. And I'm so sorry, I'm not trying to ignore chat. I am reading, but some of these comments here. Big Red Pimp says, you all are to blame for Angel and I getting married somehow. It was you, all your fault. There have been relationships because of this show, and that blows my fucking mind. There's been shows made because of this show. That is the ultimate compliment, by the way. People that have done their own podcast as a result of what they maybe heard here and thought, just like we learned from Travis Donovan at Understation Live. Shout out if you're out there, Travis. Just like we learned from Travis, any idiot podcast that I say that with love. Some people have learned that lesson from us. It doesn't take expensive equipment to do it. So anyway. Loki, I didn't let you have a stab at the question. I want to make sure you had a chance. What's the secret to keeping it all going for this long?
Stubborn determination. I mean, that's it. I mean, it's just, it is routine. I mean, I don't know. It's just, see how long it goes. This is what I do. I do something and then I keep doing it until I'm forced not to do it anymore. Like, you know, it's
I just
what it is.
I love that answer too. I just kind of want to see what happens. Want to see what happens. All right. Next question. And this was via Twitter. Thank you. Will you be voting for President Kat this election? Oh, this game. It's funny to me that, you know, we haven't made a lot of headway with gaming press with this milestone, which is fine. I didn't blast everybody with a press release or anything like that. And it's, you know, because I think sometimes the lack of exposure is actually kind of nice. It's kind of nice that we don't have a lot of shitbags that come in this chat room. And the unfortunate thing is, if we were out there large on this big scale where people would, you know, want to find us and try to get a reaction out of us, we'd see a lot more shitbags in chat. So sometimes being on this kind of like hipster underground, have you heard of this show kind of level is actually a really cool thing. But
we are so underground.
But it's interesting to me that President Kat was the thing, and this dumb little Twitter campaign we were running to try to get this game localized and brought to the USA actually ended up getting more press than anything else.
That was pretty funny, though.
No, it was funny. It was really funny. And I also feel it's like the earliest form, not that we were the first, but it was the earliest form of that whole Reddit article or Reddit post becomes a story that every other game blog posts about. So anyway, Bobby Blackwell says, well, that and Katamari, we don't talk about her. All right. Anyway, we do. We love that series. We don't talk about the incident trademark. It's on Wikipedia somewhere, and that's all you need. All right. Back to the question.
For the record, there's like a post from a year ago, like a year ago on Reddit that says, do I have to make a full English translation of Sukeban Shachel Rena?
I think
yes.
We were contacted about trying to find that episode. So somebody's doing something. So we'll say, I hope they do it.
They are, by the way, working, making it to run on a dolphin.
I love it. The other story that got a lot of hits, you may have forgot, the guitar hero rocks the 80s or something like that. I think we're on a Wikipedia article for that too, when that all happened. So anyway, we don't have an actual Wikipedia article anymore. Sadly, it got deleted because we're not notable enough. Do you think now that we have 1,000?
Not notable.
Do you think
enough.
Now that we have 1,000 fucking episodes, we can get a Wikipedia article again?
No, because they'll be like, well, yeah, but no one's listened to you, so it's fine. Yeah.
Oh, fuck them. Let's make one. Somebody get on top of that.
Maybe somebody else will acknowledge this show that's not Wikipedia, but somebody we Maybe. Would really love to acknowledge this show. No. Wink, wink,
That'd
wink.
Be very
I hope
interesting.
In the near future I can say something about it because I would love to talk about it. Wink, wink, if you're out there. All right, anyway. Let's go back to the question. Will you be voting for President Kat this election? Dark Soccer, will you be voting for President Kat this election?
Do you want the like real answer or the I wish I could answer?
Whatever you feel like giving on episode 1000.
I wish I could. Yeah. I think a cat would do better than anyone we've had in since Obama.
Loki, will you be voting for President Kat this election?
No, I will not be voting for President Kat.
As much as I am siding with Dark Sakura that President Kat would be a great alternative to the choices that we have in front of us, I will not be voting for President Kat. I will be voting for the far lesser of two options I don't like, to avoid, well, let's just say Donald Trump getting back into office. I will be voting to ensure that he does not go back to office, because that would just be...
You could go to jail before all that happens.
Let's
right.
fucking hope. But unfortunately, accountability is not a great theme
is
in
it,
this country. But what that's
is
a
it
whole
wrong
other
that
podcast.
I feel dirty saying his name?
No.
I don't want to say it because it makes me feel dirty.
No, let's talk about something that makes us feel awesome. Let's go to the next question. And that question is, do you ever miss DDR? And why do you think the show doesn't talk as much about it? Ooh, this question got a little long. Do you ever miss DDR, and why do you think the show doesn't talk as much about it?
DDR has moved, like, past us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say, I mean, I could probably do DDR now that I'm doing ballet and my endurance is built back up. But I don't even know how to answer that. I guess... I could say I miss DDR, but I could also go visit DDR when I want to. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to. I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think about playing. You know what I mean? I think about wanting to go play, and then I think about all the other stuff that I have to play. And it also doesn't have like the same magic it used to when it was new and novel. When it was like everything, when you were almost on the edge of this phenomenon, you were on the edge of this phenomenon. When we started playing, we really were. And now it's just like, they've changed factors on the gameplay. I still to this day hate the hold steps. It's super polished. I don't know. It's just super polished. And then, like, I'm also really pissed off at how Konami has treated the American community. And but I have to say, I'm glad that the tourney circuit and all that is still going. I don't think it's past its prime, but I think that it's moving on to the tastes of a different
generation.
Group of players.
Yeah, I don't think it's past its prime. I think it's having a second wind, quite honestly. But Loki, we'll go to you. Do you ever miss DDR? Why do you think the show doesn't talk as much about it?
I mean, I just have to get off my lazy butt and go clean off the dance pads that are out in my garage, because, I mean, I have a machine out there. Just, you know, my lazy butt doesn't go out there to play because it's our garage is full of trash right now. But I'm lazy, you know, I'm work. Well, not lazy necessarily. It's just, you know, after work, I'm exhausted mentally. And then to, you know, spend time exhausting myself physically, then I don't have that creative energy to work on Minecraft content, which I'm trying to use to escape the hellhole that is my day job. So, you know, it's like it's priorities and like levels and stuff like that to try to do that. But yes, I do think about it every time I go out to the garage to do laundry. I'm like, I really need to play this thing because my Stepmania computer that was in there already broke. But I still have the 573 in there. So I have Extreme. I could put on a few other games in there. I have like a multi-disc that can sort of work for some of them. And yeah, I do still have fun playing it, and I would like to get back into it because unfortunately COVID made me fat, and so I would like to not be fat anymore. Thank you very much. And DDR did that for me, that and walking 3 miles a day. But like, I would love to get back to being able to do that again. But yeah, it does get harder as I get older for sure. But it's only as far away as my garage. So
all right.
I'm also going to throw this in there that I think it would be fun that when I, if I make it on point, that I try to play DDR on point.
My take on the question, do I miss DDR? Yeah, I do. But why do you think the show doesn't talk as much about it? Probably because Step Maniacs is a better game.
It is.
Thank
honestly,
you, everyone.
Like,
good night.
I don't like how it's five panel. It's too hard for me to play that, but I do like all the songs in it. I really like all the songs. It is essentially what I've always wanted a sequel to Extreme to be, which was, hey, let's take what we did back in Extreme and that type of stuff and just keep doing that
before the hate mail starts coming in. I just wanted to say an answer that would create drama. Okay. Here's the thing. In reality, of course, I miss the DDR community. I miss our Wednesday nights getting together and the you know, having the food afterwards and all of that stuff. I of course, I miss all of that. I miss that community. I think, you know, leaning into why does the show not talk as much about it, it's blame Konami. Konami didn't risk DDR in this country for so long and didn't invest in the music games the way that other companies eventually did and found success with Rock Band, Guitar Hero, and so on, that there was a gap in DDR for so long that caused us to find other stuff to play and kind of rediscover, like, the community focus sort of shifted. Now, I understand a lot of that is back now, and round one has been instrumental in bringing a lot of that back to the forefront, but I think because our lives and our hobbies have changed because Konami gave us too big of a break, I think other people have been able to find that space, you know, again, but for me, it's like, I'm out of shape. I don't know, but I can't resist. When I see a DDR machine in the wild, especially not so much round one, when I see a DDR machine like lonely and neglected at a bowling alley, I can't help but sneak on there and just say,
I just want to go.
Yeah. I'm going to play a trick level song just for fun.
It's like, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Big guy. People still love you.
And it's also hard for like, for me too, like, especially modern DDR. I'm from the school of like, songs go up to 10 and that's it in difficulty. I can't do the math now with how they have songs.
That's right.
Like,
I can't convert to the,
like, I can't convert nine letters. It doesn't, like, I don't know what the difficulty of songs are anymore. And so that is a little bit of a challenge. Also, my brain still thinks I can do DDR. My body can't. Like, it's like, oh yeah, I could do that. I can play that, those doubles, you know, that's fine. And then my body's like, no, you can't.
Yeah, before I started ballet, I there was no way I could do anything harder than maybe 5 or 6.
All right,
let's bye by 1.5. Okay, good. I will keep that as in mind. What also became difficult, Orange, right, with that is like when I download songs, you know, off of the internet for my Step Mania machine, it's like, was this used in the old format or the new format? Like, is this 8 gonna be easy or is this gonna be pretty hard?
But anyway, yeah, but in all seriousness, super props to Step Maniacs. I see multiple people in chat kind of talking about, oh, all the cool things it does. I think really Step Maniacs kind of took the love of the game and really, you know, innovated on that concept for you know, the modern day dance game fan. I think they've done a lot of great things. I really do. So congratulations, and I'm very sorry for the things we said about In the Groove in the past. It's water under the bridge, I hope, at this point.
Yeah. And
let me put it this way. I get it now.
At the very least, I would hope that if anything, if Konami was serious about their dance games, that they would at least take the opportunity to look at Step Maniacs and go, okay, we need to be better now than that to, you know, survive in this industry. But it's Konami and, you know, they're not. I do wish our round one, though, would get a Dance Rush stardom, because I do want to play that. It looks freaking awesome.
All right, let's get to the next question. The next question is, what job would you want if you ever worked in the gaming industry? Loki, what job would you want if you ever worked in the
gaming industry? I've worked in the gaming industry, so, like, I've had lots of jobs. I've sold games, and I've, you know, I've made games. I guess making games would still be fun. Like, I would like to do that more. I just don't have the time for it. And certainly, you know, mental capacity for that sometimes. I do like to think, though, at least, you know, coding games and whatnot, it's helped me to be able to, like, break, you know, apart certain things, especially, like, for example, in Minecraft, you know, doing redstone, you know, you kind of structure stuff like you would in games. You take your thing that you're trying to accomplish, break it out into components, and then figure out how to code each of those components and put them all together. And then you can also, you know, for example, take things that you've made before, take pieces of it and rearrange them and do all that. And a lot of that stuff is kind of with game design. Like, when you're, you know, creating games and you've had systems and stuff that you built for other things, you can repurpose those things and, you know, do that. Yeah, I would still like to, you know, for example, like, work on something for the Playdate that I bought, and that was my excuse for buying it. You know, certainly not to just have one, but, you know, I'd like to try that. There's the Game Boy Advanced system to, like, build stuff that, you know, would be really fun to check out. Nest Maker, sure, I would love to go through Nest Maker. I would still love to kind of put one more update on Pixel Poops number 2, because there are some things that I tried to accomplish in that, and I didn't have a great understanding of it. And I feel like if I reach out to some people, like, say, hey, can you tell me how to do this correctly so that it works the way I wanted it to? Like, some of the random movement stuff wasn't working right. It would be nice to just be able to have a better understanding with that, because there's still, like, lots of stuff being made with Nestmaker. They just put out their official strategy guide, which my game is also inside of, which I thought was pretty cool. Congrats, I forgot I even bought that.
Amazing.
So there's that. Yeah, so there's, yeah, lots of opportunity. Even, like, going to Unity or Godot or something like that it would be a lot of fun to do that. But once again, developing a game takes a lot of time, and that's time that I don't have amongst the other things that I want to do. Sure. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Probably not going to happen right now.
For me, well, my serious, actually, it is a serious answer. It's not even a joke answer. I would want to host a revival of Starcade. That is the job I want.
Oh, God, yes.
I want to be a fucking yes. game show host. I want to host a game show about video games. A revival of Nick Arcade, I'll take that too. That would be my absolute dream job, to be honest. On a somewhat, like, you know, serious, what is achievable note, I would still, you know, in my day job, my day world, I work with learning in a corporate environment. So, like, training and development, corporate learning type of stuff is what I do. I don't talk a lot about my day job for good reason, because there's a very clear line between those things. But, and I've told this story on the show before, so it's not a huge surprise. I would say it was right when Alan first moved here, 2012. I actually interviewed and got pretty far along in the process for a job in training for a gaming company. But if I'd taken the job, I would have had to relocate to LA. And that's your only hint on who it was. I don't think that, like, with Alan just having moved here, I think making that move, I don't think would have been the right call at that time. Assuming I even got it, which, you know, I hadn't been offered the job. I pulled myself from contention after the first, I think there might have been 2 interviews. And Bobby Blackwell says, you also probably wouldn't still be there now. And that is also a very, stability is really fucking nice. But I think my serious answer is I would have to, I think, do what is my other passion during my 9-to-5, which is adult learning and that whole environment. I think I would want to take that into the gaming industry, but that is a very, very specialized thing, but important. So, Dark Sakura.
Well, it used to be my dream to do music design, you know, back in the day. And this is now going to be a serious answer with my current skill set, with my background in design, but also my more recent experience in project management, is that I really do think I would love to do some sort of project management for like coordinated efforts, like maybe for hashing out, you know, a new game, I guess, you know, be the coordinator between, you know, with deliverables. And although I still would love to be a writer, you know, I haven't given up on that either. I'm writing a book right now, that I've been writing the same book for the last 3 years, but I digress. Coming up with ideas and integrating them. I don't know, like doing project management with a side of like writing continuity. Does that make sense?
No, it does.
Like bringing the parts together, making things work, making sure that the deliverables, I don't want to be responsible for people, but I would love to be the one that helps bring the project together. I think that that sounds super fun to me. And I've also looked into like community management positions to like the Pokemon company was hiring for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. I was really tempted. So right now, I don't think it's the right time given the present environment. But I mean, there's also aspects of gaming within the place that I work at that I can't bring up on the podcast that I would love to be involved with, but that's probably not going to happen.
All right. We got two questions left. That's assuming y'all in chat don't throw something else at us here in the next few minutes, but we actually do have gaming news to talk about tonight and so forth. So, we'll get to that, but, we have two questions left. Here's the next to last question. What's the plan for episode 2000?
Hopefully still be alive. Jesus.
Okay. So okay, let's do the math.
Another Liza Minnelli reference tonight. Well, being alive would be the plan.
I'm just doing the math on this. I would be... I don't even want to think about being that old.
I'd be 67. If it takes another 22 years to get there, which assuming I'd be 67.
I'd be 70. So. I don't know that I want to actually be 70. I mean, maybe by then, you know, I'll have all my bionic limbs and, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I agree with Dark Tetsuya. 2046 if we survive the Snatcher invasion. But... You know, I don't know. I'm probably going to be, you know, at least 50% bionic parts and can actually play DDR then. Yeah. I don't know that that's going to logically be possible. I mean, we'll be the oldest gaming podcast for long retired people. We'll be in our nursing home going, I'm playing my DDRs right now with my controller. What was I playing? Dead by Daylight.
Minecraft. Final Fantasy 14. Again.
I don't know. It would just be like, I can barely picture my own birthday next week. So. Right now,
happy early
I'm just
birthday,
like,
by the way.
Thank you. I have goals.
Do you have a subathon you want to plug?
Yes. On Friday, April 19th, starting at 11 o'clock a.m. Pacific time until maybe past 11 p.m. Pacific time, I am doing a subathon. Subbing isn't necessary. I really just want people to hang out with me. But if you want to give me a present, a sub works.
Now that I play Dead by Daylight again, I'm going to really try to come and play some games afterwards.
Yeah, I'm going to have open lobbies. Yeah. And I may do like a avatar palette cleanser. But for the most part, I'm even planning on being on cam. So I have redeems that mean I have to do pliés and élevés.
Okay.
I ran into a lady at Daiso who was just a little bit older than me, And we were talking about like how it was us that went out and played video games and everything. And she's like, oh, well, now I'm into gardening. And I'm like, I paid what, had it not been for certain things, what would have been $3,000 for a computer just to play my video games online and show people and talk to them and scream at the game. So, and I don't feel like any mentally older. Yeah. Like, I feel like I give less of a shit about some things, but I also like, and I'm thinking back to doing OLR. Like, OLR was what got me streaming in the first place, and then I kind of had that period where I was bullied a bit, and then I came back. And it's through the show actually introducing me to what Dead by Daylight it actually is to play, and me deciding I'm gonna start.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But like, hey, you.
I'm gonna start from absolute noob and stream my progress in this damn game. Hey. And I was a Legion main.
Jamie.
What?
You're welcome,
Rob. Rob. Yes.
Okay.
For those, ferret noises.
For those that don't understand, I'm the one that said, Jamie, you should try this game. I think you'd enjoy it.
I had looked at trailers before and I was like, I don't know. This will make me, I'll be mad. I don't like first person. I don't want to be a survivor because I don't want to die. And then I'm like, I played Killer for 3 years and then added Survivor.
All right. I got one more answer for this.
I've got stuff.
What's the plan for episode 2000? It will probably be completely generated by AI, the way things are going. Not that I authorized that, but I feel like at that point, if I can even speak at that point, it will probably be something that is completely AI generated at that point. Hey, ChatGPT, generate what an episode 2000 of OLR might look like.
Did you hear that TLC had a completely AI-generated romance flick?
Oh, wow. No.
And it is as bad as
the movie is. Oh, God, it's so bad. They have a trailer, and they put stuff in the trailer, and they're like, yeah, that's good, and it's not. It's not.
Makes the room look like a cinematic masterpiece.
TCL, clocks don't have 2 threes on them.
You mean it's not, Rob?
Well, in a way, it is a little bit. Okay, there is one final question, and this is a whopper. This is a deep question. You ready? Here we go. Last question. When written about in the history books, what do you want people to remember about OLR? a callback from an episode three weeks ago or so. I want them to remember that we were woke and gay. Good night.
Woke and gay.
No,
I want, and that we never sold out.
Go ahead.
No, woke and gay is cool. I'm fine with woke and gay.
I don't know.
I feel like it's like a morning coffee. Woke and gay.
I would just be happy that they remembered us at all.
That's kind of sad.
I
don't remember us. All 40 people watching right now.
I would like to be remembered as a show that really tried to be forward thinking in involving as many people as possible in the show. I still believe, I can't prove this, this is why I haven't claimed it. I believe we were the first show, period, to take phone calls live on Skype. I really believe that, but I don't have the proof, so it's a hard thing to claim. But I love that we did that for as long as we did. And I think that was a lot. It's a bummer. Microsoft like literally has killed Skype in favor of Teams at this point. And so we've had to shift as well. And I don't think we generate as many calls this way. I get that, but I think taking calls over Skype was really cool. And having the live, chat was also great. I love that we have been able to, you know, obviously the three of us do an awful lot for the show and, you know, our personality is all over the show. But it's really all of you that
that oftentimes make this car go in a completely different direction. So I would want to be remembered.
You're all a part of this.
Yeah, I would want to be remembered that we were really one of the first shows to really go the extra mile to incorporate the audience as well. And yes, Pod Culture says y'all birthed other shows too. That's probably the ultimate compliment, to be quite honest. You know, the probably the best possible compliment somebody can say is, I started podcasting because your guys' show was so terrible, I knew I could do better. No, but you know what I mean.
You guys, hey, Rob.
You guys, you know, I wanted to do what you all were doing. And so that's, yeah, very humbling and really great. And I think going back, throwback to the last question, I think this show lives on through the other shows that it birthed. Much like we are carrying out in a weird way Understation Live and everything we learned from that, you know, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. Everybody answered that, I think. Well, thank you all for indulging us there a little bit. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, people can remember that OLR proved that just because you're old doesn't mean you can't like the new stuff too. That's right. We are hip. Hello, fellow kids. That is right. YYR says, didn't all those other shows end already? LOL. Probably. It depends. If you're talking about like Horde House and things like that, yes, but like, I think Ranma has credited for Anime Jam Session, which is still going. And I think there's other shows, yeah, too, that maybe haven't said it as explicitly. So it's, yeah.
And there's still other things in the works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of projects that are floating around until I get other projects done. So,
yeah.
And you want to hear a scary fact?
Mm-hmm.
If we go for another 20 years, you never know. There could be people that aren't born yet that start podcasts that are based off of our show. Isn't that scary?
Honestly,
interesting.
I think that we actually do have listeners who were born during the time frame that our show has existed.
I hate thinking about that.
Yeah, me too. Well, you're.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Cosmiz Eve in chat says, your show is literally older than me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We're off to die. Good night.
But, you know, I'm going to step back for something, something real, too, though, is that doing this show and keep up doing this show has been what's given me, like, some of the confidence to go out and do other big things in my life,
yes,
like going back,
yes,
to streaming,
yes,
doing fucking ballet in my 40s, mm-hmm, you know. I have a goal that when I'm 50, I want to be on point. And I would have never had a goal like that if I hadn't had the big confidence booster that doing the show has. And the show has actually helped me get over a lot of personal hangups and reiterate that what other people think of you is not my business. And if they try to make it my business, fuck them.
Yeah.
And I'm meaning like the negative stuff. You can keep giving me compliments. I thrive on that shit.
As much as we joke about that nobody listens to this show, I do think there have been several opportunities that have been created because of this show. Like, we got to go to E3 in its prime because of this show. We got to, you know, hang out there and be on the breaking news front lines of that and live that life. And that was an opportunity because of this show. And
I got to play Supernova.
We met Yamaoka.
Yes, Naoki.
We met. I literally have run into twice Kojima.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet Kondo-san, oh. Koji Kondo.
I think I'll say, sorry, Loki, I know you want to say something. Just real quick, I think the other ultimate compliment, to be quite honest, being in video games now, being a part of the art that we, you know, even like with a brief cameo, being a part of the art that we so love and talk about every week. And I'm talking about specifically two instances come to mind. There's been more, but these two will always come to mind. And the first one is Bungie Ferret Tossing, which our very own YYR did on Xbox 360, which unfortunately is no longer available because they sunset the, you know, the XNA or whatever it was, that indie game thing. But you know how fucking cool that was to fire it up on my Xbox 360. I mean, that we did have the gamer picks, which was also cool, but, you know, and like
the Typing of the Dead
and the OLR logo was up there right off the bat. The Typing of the Dead was more of a mod. It's not like Sega themselves put us in the game, you know?
But that's fun still.
Yeah, no, it is fun. I would say, and YYR says, Bungie Ferret Tossing will be back. I personally guarantee this. Thank you. And you've always been lovely with making the OLR dream games a reality. And I would say from one end of the pendulum to the other. So you got the indie game, right? I would say when we showed up in that Namco collection on PlayStation 3. And there's a very subtle blink and you miss it. But if you fire up the Namco collection on PlayStation 3, thank you, Namco Museum of Essentials. That was the name of the game. If you fire it up on PlayStation 3, there's a splash screen that talks about the internet. And it shows you can have your high score on the internet. And it shows a high score table. And the high score people on it are Sky, Dark Sakura, I think Loki OLR, something like that. And then not Tingle, but like they did like Tangle or something like they changed the name just a little bit. Yeah, Tutorial Scree actually had our host names in there. And that, I don't remember. Yeah, Tinkle, maybe. I don't know. It was something. But obviously, that was somebody on the inside showing that they were listening to this show. And that was an incredible feeling, especially because the fact, especially for what it was. And again, why I cite this one, because there's been other little random cameo appearances too. But the reason why I cite this one specifically is because the fact that this was like alongside literal Namco classics that I grew up on, that we are able to share that space with fucking Pac-Man. And I don't even remember, Dragon Spirit was in that collection. I know it was a big one. And these really like Dig Dug, I think, was another big one in that one, that we were sharing the space with, that just felt like, wow.
Yeah.
We did it, kids. We did it. That was it. Anyway, Loki, I'm sorry. I went for like 5 minutes. You were trying to say something earlier, if you even remember.
I don't remember now.
Sorry.
I remember now. It was doing the podcast this long, it's made me very comfortable in other podcasts. Like, I could just, like, anything. No stress whatsoever. I've been doing this for as long as I can remember. So, I don't know.
Yeah. For sure. Okay. So, thank you for indulging us on our kickoff topic tonight, which was all about us. We're going to get into other stuff, but first, as we always do, let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we've been playing this week. Dark Sakura, I will start with you as usual. How was your gaming week?
I played my usuals, pretty much. I played more Dracula XX Nocturne in the Moonlight, also known as Symphony of the Night. I played Dead by Daylight. Actually, no, I take that back. No, I did. I played Dead by Daylight, I think, after the show last week, but I didn't play on Tuesday because I've been getting over a sinus infection and I had a really bad headache. I just couldn't play. And I've played more Avatar, which I've beaten, but I'm going back and trying to get all the side quests done. I love that game. I love the freedom and doing like little tiny things in that game, and I'm really hoping that there's more DLC that comes out that deals with some of the sort of suspended storylines, I reckon, with some characters who just walked off. Where are they now? But that's been the big thing, you know. My usual. It's been a very busy week as well, because I'm in training at work. So being in training and being sick means I just play what I can vegetate to.
Loki.
Well, this week I played the game that's behind me, which is Turbo Kid. And it's an excellent Metroidvania game. I highly worth checking out, especially if you're a fan of the movie like I am. And I've made people watch it, and I will continue to make people watch the movie. It is great. You should check it out. But yeah, the game itself is also very good. Like, just the whole gameplay, the animation to it, the story, they have all the music that's, I think, from the movie too. It's just really good. Like, and I like that it continues the story from the movie, which is a lot of fun. So you can check that out. They also have what they call it, a non-canon playthrough. You can play as Apple as well, which I thought was interesting. Because I guess it'd be non-canon because she's dead. Spoiler. And what else? I intended to play Fallout 4, but instead I modded Fallout 4 for like 8 hours yesterday and still haven't played it yet. But I intend to play Fallout 4 at some point. And the reason I wanted to play Fallout 4, because I binge watched the entire Fallout TV series, which is excellent in my opinion. I am not a huge like Fallout nut as far as the lore goes. I am, I guess, a casual enjoyer of Fallout. So I wasn't bent out of shape about New Vegas stuff and, you know, canon and this and that. But like, it's good for what it is. Like, the show is really enjoyable and I liked the characters in it. And I'm very excited for the next season. So hopefully that'll be coming very soon. I imagine that this is highly successful because all the reviews have been great on it. So yeah, looking forward to that. And then of course, Minecraft. I've been playing, you know, a lot of that. I've been trying to work mostly on my theme park ride. And so struggling to get everything done with that. I put together the redstone for the scoring system in it, which was complicated. So that's at least all set up now. And I've been trying to go through and actually do the detailed decorating on everything. And because I had before that, what I'm calling wool boxing. And that's essentially just creating boxes, dividing up the show building, if you will, to allow for the boats to be equally spaced apart. Because what I'm trying to do on the ride is have it so that one player doesn't have to wait for the ride to go all the way through, because it's like a 5-minute ride. And so I have it now where 14 boats can be going at the same time, and the game is actually going to keep track of 14 different scores at the same time using redstone magic and scoreboards in the game. And so it was complicated to get that all working, but now it does in theory. And so, yeah, it's just trying to work through that. It's just taking a very long time, and I really need to get past this. Like, you know, everything needs to be done before I can put it in an episode, because next season, when I work on the next project, which is going to be even bigger than this, it cannot be in one episode because of the nature of how it's going to go. So I'm going to look to kind of how Tango did his decked out 2 from last season of Hermitcraft. But yep, just trying to get that so that, you know, people start looking at my channel a little bit more, because the growth is super slow and it's getting frustrating, but how it always is.
You just gotta keep at it because you love it. Let's see, my game of week. I was pretty busy in my day life, so I didn't have as much time for games, but I did still play plenty of Final Fantasy 14. That's my go-to. I'm trying to get all my jobs to 90 before Dawn Trail comes out. The benchmark came out today. I haven't had a chance to run it yet, but I'm excited about all the Final Fantasy 14 news that came out. I'm really excited for the expansion. I actually, Darksacre would be proud of me. I played a little Dead by Daylight. I haven't been playing nearly as much of that lately. But I actually went in, I bought Goth Meg, whatever her name is.
Sable, yes, I love her.
Goth Meg, I bought her.
Also known as Michaela's girlfriend.
And yeah, I've been having fun playing as Cheryl, even though I think I've maybe won one of the like 10 games I've played. Because I don't know if my skill regressed or what, or I'm just using a very bad build. Or I just... playing with pugs all the time is very soul draining, because people just don't come to get you off hook. They just don't care. So it's very boring. Anyway, otherwise, I still have been playing. To be fair, I do play the GPS games, you know, the Ingress, the Pokemon Go quite a bit of Monster Hunter now, actually. Still been doing that, trying to level up my gear and all that good stuff. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for my gaming week. Not a lot of new stuff, but hopefully that'll change in the coming weeks. All right. Are we going to do news on our 1,000th episode? Yes, we are. We're going to get right back into it. Why wouldn't we do the thing we always do here at Orange Lounge Radio?
I guess.
And get into some news. So,
also, I got the screenshot, and I'm linking it like in the chat room, of us in the Namco Museum.
Oh, somebody sent you this screenshot? Or
no, I found a YouTube video and screenshotted it.
Oh, there's a YouTube. Oh, that's. Oh, I wouldn't have even thought of that. A long play out there or something that shows that, huh? Oh, yep. How funny. Well, actually,
linking through my Blue Sky account,
I can even do that better. What I can do is just go, thanks to the magic of internet. There it is. So there's the screenshot. Yeah, and you can see Sky, Dark, Sakurai, Logi, Tinker is what they, but I'm almost positive that's supposed to be like a washed version of Tingle. And then
and your Dragon Spirit.
I notice over here, look at that. OLR. OLR. So anyway.
Kuma, I love JP. That's funny.
Oh, how did that get in there? Interesting.
I wonder. Mm-hmm. Right. That's
okay. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on and talk about our news. So let's get into this first story, Loki.
Yeah. So we talked about a while ago that, you know, Blizzard wasn't going to be able to publish their games in China anymore because of a disagreement with, I think it was actually NetEase at the time. But now they're back. They're back together. So Blizzard Entertainment put out a tweet that announced that we are pleased to announce a new agreement with NetEase to bring Blizzard games back to mainland China. It has been made, and so thank you for your patience and support. So that's pretty awesome that they'll get to play their World of Warcraft stuff.
Even though I think a lot of that ends up being modified, like, you know, there's it's not really undead because of the things they can and can't show. But I know the folks over there are probably thrilled to have the games coming back. Well, and I also wonder how much resentment there might be for them leaving in the first place. You know, people that are just like, fuck it, I'm not going back because, you know, fuck them forever leaving in the first place. I imagine there's probably going to be a little bit of that as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it's all, like, money. That's why there was probably a disagreement in the first place. And now that, you know, Blizzard's owned by Microsoft, I'm sure that they had some different amounts of money to throw around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this week was the closure of the Wii online services Nintendo online services for the Wii U and the Nintendo 3DS. And just as soon as those servers went down, the very next day, folks are finding ways to be able to play online multiplayer games again, like Splatoon and so forth. It is a service called Pretendo, a fan collective that what they used to do was custom Wii U servers, but now Pretendo is opening their servers to everybody, and all you have to do is do a DNS change. So I think this was very smart what they did. They didn't say anything about how they were going to do this until Nintendo pulled the plug. And essentially, because I would assume they also can't really do firmware updates at this point now because they pulled all that. Well, the Pokemon stuff is still running, so there's a shell of something there. So maybe if Nintendo really wanted to close this loophole, they could. But they're fucking dicks if they do. Like, let's be real. So it's a DNS change that you make, and that means you do not have to use Homebrew. You do not have to use custom firmware. It's an exploit. They're even calling it an exploit. They even say in a tweet, we've been holding on to this exploit for this day for quite some time in case Nintendo decided to issue patches for it. So it's not even
in case they will.
Not even a secret.
No fun.
Some services that use their own SSL libraries are not supported. So that would mean like Watch Dogs, YouTube, because those are third party titles. TV. I totally forgot about TV. The eShop, Miiverse, those things won't work. But Miiverse functionality in games will work through SSSL. So the details on how to do this, if you want to play Splatoon, Mario Kart 8, or whatever, head over to pretendo.network. And they haven't been cease and desisted yet, so we'll see. But, you know, again, like Nintendo literally pulled the plug. And I see a lot of this as game preservation. You know, I mean, Mario Kart 8 is one thing, but there is no way now to play the original Splatoon online with, you know, which it really is. I mean, yeah, there's a single player mode, but the online mode is a special unique thing. There's no way to do it unless you use something like this.
Yeah.
And Mike Def says this is how most people should do it. Wait for a full version and shadow drop it. Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf saying Pretendo had this in their back pocket for months and just waited to announce it, and that was the smart thing to do. And that's especially when dealing with Nintendo, that's how you have to do it. You just have to just drop it and leave. And then once it's on the internet, it's on the internet forever. So anyway, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
So, I'm really not at all surprised by this, but Baldur's Gate 3 became the first game to win every major Game of the Year award. Every one of them. It took the BAFTA. it got the Golden Joystick, the Game Award primary, the DICE Awards, the Game Developer Choice Awards. And I mean, and it was up against, I mean, with a lot of these, in the especially in the BAFTAs, it was up against Alan Wake 2, Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2. And like, this is pretty crazy. And it's beaten out, it did better than Elden Ring did. And we know how, you know, hot and bothered everybody was for Elden Ring.
Yeah, I think Elden Ring didn't win. I think Vampire Survivors beat it for one award, one of the major categories. So,
and honestly, that makes me laugh.
Yeah,
because that game is also good. Vampire Survivor.
Yeah,
I couldn't get into Elden Ring.
Bobby Blackwolf says it did not win the Bobby Blackwolf Game of the Year Awards. This headline is misleading. I'm sorry, Bobby. It is major video game award awards, which I think there's five that at least Wikipedia, who I don't consider the source for everything, but I think Wikipedia will list as the like major gaming award productions that happen. So,
yeah. With Elden, yeah, it was the BAFTAs actually did pick Vampire Savior Survivors, sorry.
Yeah.
Vampire Savior is Darkstalkers. But hey, it's great. I haven't tried playing it since I got my new computer. But it's a great one.
Yeah.
Lots of great voice acting and hot stuff.
It's one of those games I still need to go back and visit properly, because I don't think I gave it a fair shot the first time through, but I need to try it again. We'll just throw that in the ever-growing backlog of games I'll never get around to because I play MMOs.
Mm.
All right. Moving on, Loki.
All right. So this is kind of funny. So there's apparently a game studio, Possibility Space, which was created by Jeff Strain, who... he also created State of Decay. He is closing down his studio because of leaks. So this had, I guess, been prompted from some questions that they received from Ethan Gatch of Kotaku, asking them about a game that they're working on. And apparently this game was supposed to be under, of course, NDA. And as a result, I guess they're just throwing their hands up in the air and quitting. I mean, I don't know. But he said, yeah, last week I received a list of topics and questions from Ethan Gatch, a reporter of Kotaku, regarding an article he's writing about Pytania Media and the closure of Crop Circle Games. Much of it was expected, but I was also stunned to see non-public information about Project Disclosure, our publishing partner.
I'm sorry. Vogue? No. That's not get out.
Vonnegut.
Oh, Vaughn. Okay, never mind.
Vonnegut.
You're fine. Never mind.
Disclosure of our publishing partner with details of our business and financial relationship and details of internal P&L discussions and confidential all company meetings. Leaks of this nature are typically malicious and done by outside hacking, so to see internal team members under confidentiality agreements engage in this was shocking. As a result of this cancellation of our publishing relationship and careful consideration, I am closing Possibility Space. Today is your last day of employment at this company. And so on and so forth.
Talk about taking your ball and going home. Jeez.
Also, yeah, I've retained a lawyer who will oversee the wind down from the studio and blah, blah, blah.
Everyone? I've retained a lawyer. this will be a legal issue.
This, I think, it's talking about like the wind down of the company. I guess it's for like HR and stuff like that. Let's see here. Yeah, it says, given the company's own strict confidentiality and notification obligations, I immediately got on a plane for in-person meetings with our publishing partner to discuss the impact on our project. During that discussion, our partner expressed low confidence that they would be willing to invest the additional resources needed to complete the game. So it sounds like it's possible that maybe because these questions were being asked, maybe it, I guess, unveiled some sort of, like, inner workings of the company, and because of that, the publisher got cold feet, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But that sucks for them. But also, I don't know.
What kind of drama? What kind of drama is
so much drama?
I'm very, because I'm assuming we're still going to get to find out in the coming week or so. So we'll see. Now they have to hastily update the article to probably contact more people who are going to be even more open to squealing because this whole thing is shut down,
laid off. Yeah.
So. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says Kotaku hasn't shifted to writing guides yet. Not completely. Just the retail.
They are. They have been writing lots of guides.
Oh, no,
actually.
They have, but that's not like 100% of what they do. It's just a lot of what they do.
Yeah, like, for example, if you happen to look at their site, the second thing on here is like, more Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and Dragon Dogma tips. You're welcome. I didn't ask for this.
Which, interesting. No one did. Interestingly enough, I saw a story today about that, I guess, and it's not in our show roll, but I guess folks are saying that the sales of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth are disappointing. And here we go again with Square Enix. I don't know if this is them saying it or if it was an investor or somebody saying it, but I guess it's only sold half of what Remake did. But they're leaving a huge part out when they say that, and that is the fact that this game isn't available on the PlayStation 4. Which everybody, you know, or many more people had a PlayStation 4 when, you know, a Remake came out than has a PlayStation 5 at this point. So I don't think you can still call that. That's not a one for one. I think there's definitely some bitter Bettys out there and bitter Bobs about the fact that the game is not multi-platform. I think people want to see this on PC and, you know, Xbox and so on. Because and trying to say, oh, it's not selling as much because it's an exclusive. But Bobby Blackwolf says it's an analyst. So somebody like a Michael Patcher will say. But
it's funny. I'm an analyst. I can make predictions like this now, too. So it's equal weight, right? Because if I'm an analyst, then I can make all sorts of things.
Here at OLR, we put the anal in analyst. Absolutely.
So as an analyst, I'm going to say that one thing I did notice about Kotaku recently is they've shut off comments. So that's fun. No commenting on articles anymore. I mean, half the articles are tips now anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, maybe at some point these websites will open up tipping, because don't we as Americans love to tip? Don't we love it? Don't we just love that everywhere you go, there's that question, how much do you want to tip this person?
I hate that like so much. Not that like, I don't think, like, I get, like, you know, certain services should be tippable, but like when they're just like, when you're just like doing like an order where there's no special handling, it's just like they're handing you the food that you paid for and stuff like that. Or even like outside of this, I've heard of like tipping, like services where they want you to tip for like grocery stores and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, it's a little ridiculous.
I don't have a problem with the tipping. What I do have a problem with is that I'm the one expected to tip when the people at the very top are making billions of dollars. They're the ones that should be fucking tipping. That's who should be leaving the fucking tips, should be the people that are making billion more money than a person could ever spend in their lifetime. CEO of McDonald's, CEO of Walmart. That's the person that should be leaving the fucking tips. That's what's messed up about this. That's what it is for me. So anyway, a former president of Blizzard, Mike Ybarra, who of course was the president of Blizzard, but is no longer there after all the Microsoft stuff went down, has made a suggestion that players should be able to tip developers after completing a game. In a tweet saying, I thought about this idea for a while as a player since I've been diving into single player games lately. When I beat a game, there are some that just leave me in awe of how amazing the experience was. At the end of the game, I've often thought, I wish I could give these folks another $10 or $20 because it was worth more than my initial $70 and they didn't try to nickel and dime me every second. Games like Horizon Zero Dawn, Red Dead Redemption 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Elden Ring. I know 70 is already a lot, but it's an option at the end of the game I wish I had at times. Some games are that special.
Mike, Did you really play Red Dead Redemption 2? Did you not see Red Dead Redemption online? Are you really saying that Rockstar needs more money from, like, tips? Because, like, they have just... It's so money hungry, like, as it is. And you're like, oh, I paid $70 and I really feel like that they need more. Dude, like, Baldur's Gate wasn't $70, I don't believe. And, like, it, you know, like, just support them by buying their next game.
Yeah. And Mike goes on and says, I know most will dislike this idea, but I realize, and by the way, I realize we're tired of tipping and everything else, but I view this different from a pressure to tip type scenario many face and give feedback on. Look, I know a lot of people are dunking on what he's saying because of the way they feel about tipping culture or whatever right now. But I think there is some things in what he's saying. And keep in mind, he's not the president of Blizzard anymore. And he's not saying Blizzard games, you should be able to tip the Blizzard people. He's not really saying that. But I do feel that, like, okay, if I enjoy the game, I buy the Battle Pass. Like Diablo 4, a Blizzard game, ironically. I love that series. I like Diablo 4. I bought the Battle Pass because I like the game, which is something that, you know, to me, that's tipping. But I can also understand that, like, with indie developers, tipping and so forth is great. You know, and can help folks make ends meet and so forth. And some do have tip jars set up, and maybe it needs to be a little more front and center. I don't know. But a lot of the bigger companies, like the Activision specifically, I again think the people on the front lines ought to be being tipped by that money that was given to that fucking cesspool Bobby Kotick when he left. He got $1 million payout. That should have gone to the artists, the coders, the testers, all that made that game. Not fucking Bobby Kotick. He doesn't deserve a tip. He deserves a swift boot in the ass. That's what pisses me off about tipping culture.
Yeah.
You're like, asking me to tip because you are raking in, you're pocketing the money they should be getting. That's fucked up.
Like, I don't understand, like, where he's I really don't understand where he's coming from, like, with that. Because where does it stop? Like, honestly, you know, with that, it's not a service that's provided, like, they've gone out of their way to do something, like, you know, super special for you. It's a game. It's a product. You know, that'd be like saying, I'm tipping, you know, the box of cereal that I got, you know, today because it was a box of cereal and I thoroughly enjoyed it or something like that. Like, can you imagine if they started doing that? Like, and I know some indie games do that, and that's fine. Like, they have them put in there where, like, hey, you can click on this and, you know, buy me a coffee or something like that. Like, I remember...
Orna. I was just going to bring up Orna. The indie GPS game. Yeah.
That's a free game, though.
Exactly. But to be fair, he built that in. You buy me a coffee for $1 a night, and you wouldn't get anything out of it. Just buy me a coffee. And I bet there's a lot of people that did that because they enjoyed that game. So.
Right, and that's a little bit different. You know, it's just when we're talking about a $70 game with a, you know, a $30 battle pass with, you know, $60 microtransactions anymore, cosmetics, you know. What I just heard was that Call of Duty has a stupid King Kong, you know, glove cosmetic that's like $60 in the game. Like, and you're still wanting more money? Like,
yeah.
No. Like, no. Not at all. No thanks. Not paying you any more money.
Drew Nami in chat says, I'm reminded of shareware, which I actually kind of get a vibe from that too, but we're a long ways from those days, right? Like, we don't, sadly, you know, it's the shareware is a thing of the past. But yeah, I do remember that. Like, that felt like I enjoyed this demo so much, I want more. Here's some money type of thing.
So. I would like to tip, like, the members of the dev team.
Yeah. I'd be more open to tip if I know that the CEO isn't seeing a fucking dime.
Amen to that.
That's when I'd be willing to tip.
Here's how you do it. You can link your dev team's Patreon accounts or something like that in-game, and then I'll go to there and I'll tip them individually or something like that if you really want to do that. I still think it's wrong because what's going to happen there is if we get into the habit of, like, tip screens happening, you know how annoying that's going to be? It's going to be like those app, hey, have you reviewed this app yet? Like, it's going to be those pop-up reminders like, hey, are you enjoying this game? You want to send us a tip? Hey, hey, I see that you played the game again. Would you like to send us a tip? Want to send us another tip?
It's going
to
be like, worse than the 5-star rating prompts,
It's gonna be bad. Do not just what you do is you say, Mike, shut the fuck up. just like we don't want to hear from you anymore. Your ideas are bad. And keep these ideas to yourself, please. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Cosmos Eve in chat says, I wish developers were just paid more for their work. Yes. Fifth Dream says, well, if they allow tipping, they'll use it as an excuse to pay employees less. Yes. That's it. Like, the money ought to be coming from the top. Period. That's what I am fucking sick of, is being asked to tip at these places where the money ought to be coming from the top.
Exactly.
Anyway. All right. Let's move on to a little bit of lighthearted fare of some sort. Darksakura.
Well, there are some new additions to Nintendo Switch Online. We are going to be getting Amazing Hiberike, Super R-Type, which pretty fun. I love Super R-Type. Wrecking Crew 98 is also going to be on the list. Honestly, I think all of those are pretty good games. I even have a couple of them, you know. So I think it'd be really interesting to see how Wrecking Crew 98 and Amazing Hiberike play out for people in the U.S. Now, these are in Japan, but of course, you know, we have ways of getting them. We eventually get them.
Well, yeah, it's cool that they actually put some Japanese games in the U.S. Switch Online. I think that's great. You know, the games that didn't have they weren't very text intensive, because like, I remember there was like a P-Cross update at some point that we got there as well. But I you know, remember, it's very, very, very easy to download the Japanese version of Switch Online. And I would actually super recommend this for the 8-bit NES, because you can play things like Zelda and Metroid as they were on the Nintendo Disk System with the extra sound. And so I thought playing Nintendo on the Japanese app was really cool, to be honest. Oh my God, R-Type had the worst slowdown on the Super Nintendo. So funny.
Yeah, but R-Type is all the R-Type games are pretty fucking difficult.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that it would be nice, though, is that for like some of the RPGs, if they would put out English translations, or, you know, reach out to some of the fan translators out there and just say, hey, we'll give you X amount of money if you let us just use your translation in the game. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed playing, Live Alive had its remake, but I really enjoyed playing Treasure of the Rudra. I think a lot of people would love to play that game, you know, or the original Star Ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, like original Star Ocean on SNES.
All right. Well, let's move on. We have a few more stories for you. And then, yes, we have a classic game of the week this week. And I'm sure some of you are very curious. What on earth could Darksakura pick for episode 1000 that would be worthy of a 1000th episode that hasn't been picked yet? And I'm gonna tease you with this. I've seen the game and I went, no, she did this one. She had to have done this. And I looked back, I was like, What? How? We'll find out in a little bit. But first, we have a few more stories for you, Loki.
All right. Yeah, so Nintendo's not done trying to smack down emulator developers. This time now they are coming after Suyu and Sudachi, two
ironic.
Nintendo Switch. Yeah,
Suyu, get it.
Mm-hmm. So Discord now, so they're coming after them through Discord. Discord has shut down everything connected to Suyu and Sudachi. So apparently, this includes both the emulator servers on the platform, as well as accounts tied to the developers working on the software. Apparently, they received messages saying, well, Discord said that Discord responds to and complies with all legal and valid DMCA requests. In this instance, there was also a court-ordered injunction for the takedown of these materials, and we took action in a manner consistent with the court order, which is interesting because I don't recognize that there was a court order for any of this, at least not one that we've heard about yet. So are they, is there more legal stuff going on outside of just Yuzu? I'd be curious to find out. And according to this, you know, the one of the developers spoke out and said that they received a basically an email from Discord saying it was in they were in violation of Discord's terms of service and community guidelines for allegedly sharing content that violates anyone's intellectual property or other rights. I don't see them denying that necessarily, but you know, it is kind of interesting that they're coming after just these developers' accounts. Unless, like, I can see if there's evidence.
Nintendo is madder about this than they are about Pal World, and that really surprises me. Well,
so I would see, like, if so, it depends. Like, if on these Discords, if they were sharing like the keys or something like that, or trading games or something, I could see there could be an issue. But if it is legit that they don't have any of this stuff on there, it is just support for the emulator, then I think it's kind of an overreach. But like, also, like, what the hell's wrong with Nintendo? Like, honestly. But
I do understand.
It's just gonna push it more underground.
I do understand that, like, when you're emulating current gen retail stuff, it's a very slippery slope.
And stop making your goddamn consoles based off of old ass tech. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Those decisions that, you know, Nintendo has made come back to bite them sometimes. And yeah, that is what it is. But yeah. Anyway, let's move on. And this has also got a lot of people talking this week. This is a digital game that has been pulled from people's libraries. Ubisoft is deleting The Crew from players' libraries. Now, here's the thing, before you know, you overreact a little bit, but I don't know. There's still some things about this I don't like. The servers were pulled on April 1st anyway, and The Crew was an online-only game. So essentially, your digital copy of The Crew was worthless at this point. You couldn't do anything with it besides, I guess, see a title screen and get an error message. There was really nothing else to experience in this game because there are no more servers. Apparently, Ubisoft Connect, if you had that to launch the game from, the license to play the game has been revoked. Of course, now people are saying this is illegal, you can't do this. Technically, it's probably in the terms of service that you just don't read and accept. So I'm sure we all kind of go like, oh, I oftentimes don't like going, well, that's why they did it, because it's in the terms of service. Like, I can accept that, yes, that is the answer legally. But I also don't like sitting here going that they should be allowed to do that, that they should be allowed to put that in there. And you have to accept it to play the game. Like, there's a part of me that feels like that shouldn't be the system in the first place, to be honest. But anyway, again, The Crew went down. The Crew 2 and The Crew Motorfest are both still going. But if you had The Crew through, at least, if you have a physical copy of the game, they can't exactly come into your house and take it. That's it. But you can't play the digital version of it through the Ubisoft Connect anymore. Now, I think where this is kind of fucked up is that, like, look at the Pretendo thing we talked about earlier. I don't know if The Crew has the community to substantiate this. Maybe they do. But what if somebody wanted to make a different type of server? And I did see some talk in our Discord server to acknowledge this, you know, over at vognetwork.com/Discord, where it's one of those, essentially what I'm talking about doing is like those commercials and saying, why don't they just turn up the graphics on level 3? It's much harder than that. You would have to have server code that probably doesn't exist out there, and da 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 da. I get it. But for that to not even be an option, because that entire thing has been stripped from your library, does seem a little bit tacky to me. If I want to pet rock that is worthless. Damn it, let me have my pet rock. I think it's as simple as that.
There has to be something else going behind the scenes, I think.
Ooh, YYR says in chat, the timing on this was not an accident. Apparently someone was about to put a private server online. Oh, so maybe someone did crack the code. Very interesting. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, terms of services and ULAs and user license agreements have never been actually tested in court because everyone keeps settling. I think the bubble is going to burst on that someday. And we just talked about, it was last week or the week before, we talked about how there is a advocacy group that is trying to leverage a French organization to, we'll just say, bully Ubisoft in a way they ought to be bullied to stop doing this shit with, you know, delisting and pulling things.
This is going to happen with the Crew 2, and this is going to happen at the Crew Motorfest. Like, stop buying Ubisoft games.
All right. Well, let's take an opportunity here on episode 1000 to do something that we have been doing for 750 episodes, to be fair. The Classic Game of the Week started in episode 250. See, there's been a lot of landmarks along the way, so 250 was another nice round number where I think Dark Soccer before did, like, there was, like, advice or something, and then there was the website of the week. That was always fun.
Unsolicited advice.
Yeah, and then it switched to the Classic Game of the Week in episode 250, and it stayed that way ever since. And I'm sure a lot of you are curious, what did Dark Soccer pick for episode 1000? And unlike the game we just talked about, this is something you can go back and play. This is games preserved the way we like it. Let me roll the bumper and then we'll get to the game.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the Classic Game of the Week.
All right, Dark Sakura, what'd you pick for episode 1000, Classic Game of the Week?
I picked Gradius. I've done Gradius 2. I've done Gradius 3. I have not done Gradius. So, yeah. I poured over the wiki and just made 1000% sure. And even some, like, going back and reading stuff, I was like, I had to recontextualize where I brought up certain things that I'm finding so familiar, because I believe I brought up the precursor to Gradius. I brought that up talking about the salamander or life force. So we'll take a step back and we're going to go and take that little walk. So Gradius was released in Japanese arcades on February 2nd, 1985. North America got it December 1985 and Europe got it September 1985. So this is one of the situations where Europe got it before we did. It was, of course, developed by Konami. It was the first in the Gradius series. The version that was released outside of Japan was under the name Nemesis. But, of course, there have since been revisions back to the original name. I actually have a Game Boy cartridge that's titled Nemesis. So, but at any rate, it was originally supposed to be a sequel to its precursor, Scramble. And then actually the working title was Scramble 2. But things changed. So you basically play as the spaceship called the Vic Viper. And you have to go through, you know, enemies. And you also get the phrase, destroy the core. You know. This game was novel for one very important reason, and that was its option system. Option in particular, but its power-up system, including the options and the various lasers. And the fact that one of the lasers actually goes back to an anime that I super enjoyed and always meant to go back and read the books, Lensman. I'll get to that in a second. So in other shooters at the time, you would get color-coded power-ups that would have a different effect on you know, your ship. I'm sure if you think of like Raiden, where you know you get the purple, it's electric, you get the red, it's fire, etc. So a little bit more about the background of this game is that it was created by the game designer named Hiroyasu Machiguchi. It was the first video game he publicly released. He joined Konami in the 1980s as a programmer when Konami was transitioning away from producing metal machines, you know, M-E-D-A-L, to doing video game development. And they wanted him to make a game that would put Konami out there. It would make, you know, give them their leg up in the, you know, the evolving genre, or the evolving media. So basically he asked the team what kind of game they'd like to work on. And they wanted to work on another shooting game. The shooting game genre had its resurgence with Xevious from Namco. And so they wanted to do better. They took a lot of mechanics and material from Scramble and put a little bit more into it. They came up with different ideas that they would just test out whether or not they thought it was going to work. And they would run it all on an arcade monitor to see how it panned out. With the options, they had 20 different movement patterns that were, you know, basically whittled down until they found the ones that would work. And it was also produced for the Konami Bubble System. And for the Konami Bubble System, other things that ran on it were Twin Bee and Galactic Warriors. So there you go. But they also took some options, some ideas that were used in Star Wars. And like I said, Lensman, the laser weapon was actually completely influenced by Lensman. They had the power meter mechanic, where they wanted to give players freedom to select whatever weapons they wanted. And so it was just a big, you know, like way to give people the ultimate sort of satisfying gameplay. And also they put Moai in the game, and they've been in every subsequent game as an homage to Xevious and the Nazca lines that were referenced in Xevious. So it's a very, I would like sometime to just go into like different like gaming systems one day. Maybe that'll be next year. You know, like this bubble system or the CPS, you know, stuff like that. I think that the bubble system was interesting because it used a bubble software cartridge, and it used magnetic bubble memory, which was a sort of NVRAM that had non-volatile RAM that used this magnetic material to hold these bubbles of data. It's an interesting concept. Moving forward, though, of course, the first home conversion came out for Famicom on April 25th, 1986 in Japan. It was, you know, limited because of the hardware. There were some designs that were simplified, like the Moai stage, for example. And then the maximum amount of options you could get was 2 instead of 4. But it did give us the Konami code. This was the first game for it to appear in, and followed in subsequent games such as the other Gradius games, Contra, Life Force, and to some extent in Parodius. But with the NES version, it came out in North America December 1986, And it was the first NES game to have been released by Konami in North America. And the title was kept the same as it was in Japan. It wasn't called Nemesis. And Nintendo had it available in arcades as a Nintendo Versus system. It was under the title Versus Gradius and a PlayChoice 10 cartridge. So there was also an MSX version, July 25th, 86. It was changed very similarly to the Famicom version, and they added like a bone planet and some different enemies and some warp zones, and you could play as a Twinbee. PC Engine version was November 15th, 1991, exclusively in Japan, and it was a 2 megabit hue card, and it was closer to the arcade than the NES and MSX, and it had a desert planet stage, kind of like the bone planet was added, and of course lower resolution, and it had a degree though of vertical scrolling. As far as other platforms, it came out on various microcomputers such as the ZX Spectrum, Amstrad CPC, Commodore 64 in Europe as Nemesis: The Final Challenge, PC 8801 and X1 in Japan, and there was an early version on the X68000. I say for the early versions of the computer. The original Gradius has been released in the Gradius Deluxe Pack for PlayStation, Saturn, and Windows. I do have the Saturn copy. A Gradius Collection for PSP. Digital releases for PlayStation 4 and Switch in the Arcade Archive series. And then the Arcade Classics Anniversary Collection from 2019 by Konami was out for PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and Windows. So, of course, the soundtracks have been released. I have somewhere back there the a vinyl record of Gradius and Gradius 2 soundtracks. I think I have the Gradius 3 one as well. Hmm. Yeah, vinyl. But the game in the arcade went on to be the fifth highest grossing arcade machine of 1986. In Japan. In the UK, Nemesis was the highest grossing arcade game in 1986 on London's Electrocoin charts. And it got really stunning reviews across the board for the arcade version. It was, you know, it was up there. For the ports, I mean, the Famicom version sold over a million copies in Japan in 86. The home computer port went to number 2 in the UK. And the game that beat it was Feud. PC Engine also topped the UK's PC Engine sales. And it got the first Famitsu Best Hit Game Award. It gave it to the Famicom version as Best Shooting Game and listed the second best game of the year, just below Dragon Quest. This has done many sequels. We are now on the 7th generation of Gradius games with Gradius wow. Rebirth. But I mean, there was, you know, Salamander. It was also re-released on the Windows Store in 2013. And the NES port, of course, came out on Switch. And there's an updated release as Gradius Stage 5 Stronger version. That came out November 14th, 2018 worldwide. And then Gradius SP Second Loop. That also came out. So there you go. I mean, Gradius.
Yeah.
It's
just a true, true classic game if there ever was one. And just, again, I'm literally shocked that it has never been done before in this segment. So, and you know, with as much shit as we
give. Shout out to our Bemani days.
Yeah. With as much shit as we give Konami, and rightfully so, like, this is definitely a throwback to like what the innovation and things we really loved about them that, you know, led to things like DDR and Beatmania 2DX, to be honest. So yeah, and Orange Wright says it gave us Gradius Full Speed, which for a long time we were using as the theme to the Orange Lounge Radio to Go edition at the very beginning. That's a very good call out, Orange Wright. Thank you.
It should be remembered that, if I recall correctly, the first Gradius song or reference to Gradius as a song that came out in a Bemani game was Gratty Music Cyber.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. I was in a 5-key Beatmania game, right? So
I do believe so. And of course, there was also I want to say there was a Salamander song. Mm-hmm. I know though that there was the Metal Gear one, but yeah, that was. I mean, for me, it was among the first shooters I ever played. Like, I mean, I played Galaga and Galaxian, but for me, yeah, that was Salamander Beat Crush Mix. It's just up there in my list of games that I will just pick up and play through. I love the other things that spawned, because if you think about it, the game spawned other games apart from just in the Gradius series. Mm-hmm. We have the whole Parodia series.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course the system that was on, you know, also ran Twinbee.
Yep.
And Twinbee, you know, that led us to a whole series of other games as well. It's just really, I can't say enough about it. It's a game that has definitely shaped what we think of when we come to a shooter for the most part.
Yep. Definitely a formative game for so many of us in history. A great pick for episode 1000 here on Orange Lounge Radio. We're going to get into some rapid fire news. I have to take a moment to do a personal hijack of the show. And I apologize for this, but I also don't, because during the segment that Dark Soccer was just doing, I just got a text message from my dad who just texted. I'm trying to show this in a way that doesn't give away. There we go. That says, "Congrats on your 1000 show. Your old man." But I don't know if it's an autocorrect thing or maybe it was intended. It actually says Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. You're old, man.
well, think,
I don't
think
know. My dad, right? My dad could have meant that either way, to be quite honest. Well, thank you, Dad, if you're out there still watching. I appreciate it. He knows how to fire up Twitch on his iPad and watch, so I appreciate it. So my dad is in his mid-80s. He's doing great. He had eye surgery a couple weeks ago, and he's doing great. So
cataracts.
Yeah, it was cataracts. So it's very, very routine.
Or as my grandmother would say, the Cadillacs.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I'm sure he appreciates that I'm spreading all of his business here on the show, but I am admiring how fast he bounced back from the whole thing and now has that bionic vision, you know, with it. Because I think when they're in there doing that, they also kind of touch up the eyes as well. I think he sees even better now, so it's pretty cool.
Well, they don't, like, add technology to it, so.
Yeah. All right.
They just clean off the stuff.
All right, let's get into some rapid-fire news and talk about some other headlines going on in the industry. Loki, we'll go to you.
Yeah, Fallout 4 is going to be getting a next-gen update rolling out on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and sort of PC on April 25th. As part of that, they're going to receive their own native apps on both platforms, and including a 60 FPS mode, which is going to be, I guess the Xbox version already technically has on the X and S, but they're going to have a native version of that, performance and quality modes as well. PC players are going to be getting widescreen and ultra widescreen support, as well as updates to quests. And they even have a brand new Fallout 4 Enclave centered quest that's going to be coming via the Creation Club, so you can check that out. Perfect time, since I've installed all that and this update will break all of those mods, so that's great. Thank you, Bethesda. Cannot wait.
Hey, Loki, I like your purple cat ears.
My purple cat ears,
the windows that are behind your head on the screen,
gives you like a purple cat ear effect. Yeah, that's funny.
Thanks. And then we've got some classic SNK games are now coming to good old games. These are, of course, including, you know, lots of your favorites. So King of Fighters 97, King of Fighters 2003. We have Metal Slug 4, Magician Lord, Last Resort, lots of titles. And those are all available actually right now, which is on sale until tomorrow for it's $389 each. That's a euro. Not really sure what that translates to in the US, but cool. I probably already have these several times over, considering, you know,
they Twitch gave them away on Twitch some time ago with Amazon Games.
Twitch and Steam.
I have a cartridge of Magician Lord and KOF 2000 and some of those games. Yeah,
I had a multi cart, but I believe Bobby has that multi cart now for the Neo Geo, because I think I gave that to him with the Super Gun. So yes, he does. Yeah, love that thing.
Nice. All right, Dark Sakura.
Well, a relic from our past has returned. We have Sunsoft. There will be a retro game selection launching on April 18th in Japan for Switch and PC. There will also be an English release planned. And so the games that are listed for these titles are going to be The Wing of Madula, Firework Thrower Kantaro, 53 Stations of the Tokaido, and Ripple Island. So I'm pretty happy about that. That's going to be cool.
Yeah. Although Sunsoft classics to me are things like Blaster Master, Fester's Quest, but that's okay. These will be cool too. Y'all might remember that for the holidays this year, I got an Evercade, and unfortunately, it turns out there are some Evercade cartridges that are going out of print. Legacy cart is when the license to produce the cartridge is expired, so they may not produce more stock of the cartridge. The two cartridges that are being taken off the shelves are Codemasters Collection 1, and that's effective immediately. I'm trying to figure out what games are in this.
Let's find out.
Is this the one with Pinball Masters? I think it is. Oh shit, I want to pick this one up. So there's that one, and then Technos Arcade 1 is also being pulled. The Technos Arcade 1 had a Double Dragon 2 in it, and I think one of the Weltris clones or something was in this as well. So this one, the Technos Arcade 1, will not disappear until June, but I'm guessing that's when their license agreement is up or whatever. So just heads up for you Evercade collectors.
I don't recognize a lot of it. They had so the pinball game that was in that was Psycho Pinball.
Oh, okay. So it's not Pinball Dreams or anything I was thinking.
It's okay. They had Ultimate Stuntman, Sensible Soccer, Stunt Buggy, Super Skid Marks, Tennis All Stars, Linus Spacehead, Megalomania, MiG-29 Soviet Fighter, Psycho Pinball, CJ's Elephant Antics, Cannonfather, Cosmic Spacehead, F-16 Renegade, Boomerang Kid, Big Nose the Caveman, Big Nose Freaks Out, and B-52.
There's only a couple of those I've heard of. And I think these are all games that were much bigger overseas in Britain, because, you know, Commodore 64 was
certainly
huge. Yeah, I think, and that's, I think where Codemasters is based too, so I think it's probably a little bigger. I think the Evercades even are done over there. So I think it's a little bit of a bigger deal. But I like Sensible Soccer, I recognize that, believe it or not, and a few of those others too. So sounds like it'd be a good collection. There's a cartridge this retired I really want. I know I talked about this on a prior episode, but it's the one that has fucking Dragon's View on it. Draken 2 Dragon's View, like the Super Nintendo is on it, and like I think that's such an underrated game. But anyway, it was like $90 on eBay, and I was like, okay, I want it, but I don't want it that much. All right, let's get into some world release dates and talk about some other games coming out this week. Let's go to Loki in the US. What's coming out this week?
A lot. We've got Europa on PC. Grounded, I guess, is coming out of early access on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Planet of Lana on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Whisker Waters on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 5. And Soul Covenant on PC and PlayStation 5. No Xbox games this week. Surprising.
All right. Traveling to Japan, on the Nintendo Switch this week, there's only one game coming out, and that's Dokusei Bangin' Summer CS version. That is it. And it is
Bangin' Summer.
It looks like a It's got schoolgirls all over the cover. It's that kind of game. So that's available on the Switch if that's what you want. Next week, by the way, not to spoil things too much, but next week is Ayuden Chronicles release. And that has been a very interesting thing from what I hear. There's been a lot of issues with the physical shipment of that game, especially if you're not in like the US, Japan, like certain countries. They're like, now that even though you donated to Kickstarter, if you want your physical edition, you basically have to pay for it to be shipped to you. And that's causing some ruffled feathers. And I'm kind of going, you know what? I'm glad I got the digital version, to be quite honest, because the shipping is very expensive. So it just sounds like their fulfillment is leaving stuff to be desired. But I'm looking forward to playing the game in a few weeks. Or actually, probably next week, to be honest. No, I think digital will be 3 days before. So that will be the 20th. So that is within the next week. That'll be before next week's show. All right, on the PlayStation 5, we have a couple games. We have UFO Robot Grandizer, The Feast of the Wolves is out in Japan, and one other release, a multi-language edition, so which includes Japanese, I assume, of Ark Survival Ascended, a PlayStation 5 retail version of the Ark game, survival game that's a classic. I have friends that play Ingress, some lady friends of mine that are, they are super into Ark. They love Ark. They try to get me to keep playing Ark, but I don't think Ark is cross-platform is the problem. And I have Ark on Game Pass, so I'm like, let's play on Xbox. But I think they have the Switch version or something like that. So we're not able to play Ark, unfortunately. But yeah. All right. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
By the way, my mom just says, really cool on 1,000 episodes.
Oh, yay. Hello.
Yeah. So... just three things on the list, all on my birthday. On both of these are on Switch, is World War Z and Farming Simulator Kids. And then for PlayStation and Xbox is Dragon Ball Fighter Z.
All right. So somewhat of a slow week. Yep. All right. Let's do just a few more stories and then we'll get into the roundtable. I know I saw some emails come in during the show, so we have a few things to read. And I'm sure we'll try to get your chat comments. I'm not going to guarantee we get all the calls. I don't know how many we're going to have tonight, but we'll do our best. We'll see what happens. Let's get to it. First, some stories. Two more stories. Loki.
So apparently some fans of Disney Speedstorm are now considering legal action because apparently Gameloft has changed how you can purchase the battle passes in game. So originally,
well, one angry Redditor is threatening legal action.
Okay, right? One angry person. Okay, yeah. One person.
They're rabbling up the crowd. They're getting the rabble going. So I
sure.
I get it. Yeah.
So essentially, what it comes down to is that the Game Pass originally was purchased. You can purchase it with in-game tokens or in-game currency called tokens, and the currently, it used to be that you could purchase that with just tokens, so you could actually unlock that without spending real money, which is counter to what Gameloft is trying to get you to do, which is to spend real-world money on it. So now, the Golden Pass will only be obtainable through direct purchase of $9.99 or $19.99 with a tier skip. And that is effective starting the 17th of April.
Well, if you really want to stick it to Disney, uninstall. I tried Speedstorm. It was okay.
There's other games out there. Like, I was browsing through my Twitch stuff. I saw that, a Smurf cart is a thing. So, you can jump on Smurf cart.
Today's the day. Be your inner Gargamel.
How about not?
You know what? You're right. You shouldn't be playing Smurf cart. Garfield cart's where it's at.
That's right. That's right.
How about not?
Not on Mondays. I hate Mondays. Normal.
I just will forget about Garfield. Just give me the lasagna and let me watch some Garfield without Garfield.
Amen to that. How about just instead of playing Garfield cart, eat lasagna.
Eat lasagna.
It'll make you happier.
All right. Lasagna cart.
Hold on. Thoughts of lasagna are getting me choked up. All right.
Hello.
Dark Tetsuya.
Are you sure you're just not choking on lasagna?
Dark Tetsuya in chat is reminding us, I don't know, we still have to get the Hello Kitty cart game. There you go. That's where it's at. Hello Kitty cart. Okay. Interesting. YYR says, my wife, the librarian, says, there's actually been an uptick in requests for Garfield books lately. Not sure what brought that on.
There's a movie's coming out. There's a movie coming out.
That's right.
Another animated movie.
They're like rebooting Garfield movies again, right?
Yes, because that's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go back and read the old Bloom County.
How about U.S. Acres? Where's their movie? Anyone?
You know, we've had voice talent from the cartoon here on this show.
That's right. It's a long time ago, but yeah. All right. Let's get to one more. You know, for the last official story tonight, I thought it would be appropriate to talk about indies, you know, because we're an indie podcast and we're always big on support other independent podcasters, and independent games are a very important part of this industry. And that's what made this Triple I initiative thing so great to take on the Triple A. And they did a big 45-minute showcase this week. And you know what? It was fucking full of announcements, because what they did, they cut the shit and they just did trailer, 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 trailer. So from this Triple I initiative, you may have heard of some of these things. I'm going to run through some of these things very quickly. Slay the Spire 2. It's official. It's coming. Early access 2025.
It's in Godot too.
Yeah. Risk of Rain 2, getting a devotion update. Shadows of Doubt Sharpshooter getting a Sharpshooter Assassin update. Gestalt Steam and Cylinder has a release date of May 21st. This is fucking rad. Vampire Survivors, I literally don't know how this is happening. Vampire Survivors is getting Contra characters with like guns.
What?
Official.
That is awesome.
But here's the wild thing, because for all the talk about lifted art from Dracula or from Castlevania, all this stuff that game, it's official Konami license. So Contra is coming officially, which is, it's wild. I think this is so cool. Also, even
what if they got Smash TV stuff?
Well, what also cracks me up, even though most people blasted Contra hardcore, except for Dark Tetsuya, this one's for you. They are bringing Brad Fang, the wolf kind of character that fits the theme of Vampire Survivors, into this pack as well, which is wild. Operation Guns for Vampire Survivors. Also, I appreciate the name. Operation Guns comes out May 9th. Very cool. Undermine 2 was announced as part of this as well. I did a double take when I heard about the game called What the Car, because I remember you were developing a game called Time to Car that, like many games, got canceled. Car, which is different. It's different, but it's coming
essentially,
out September 5th.
Essentially, What the Car is what I had envisioned It's Time to Car would have been, but they just did it way better than I would have. So yes, What the Car is, it's great. It's just like What the Golf. So, you know, absolutely check it out.
Yeah. So very cool. Norland is going to early access as a medieval kingdom simulator. It's coming out May 16th. Darkest Dungeon 2 gets a brand new mode. Kingdoms is the new mode coming to that game. A new game from Wabi Sabi Games. That's what they're called. Rakugaki.
Oh,
it's a sci-fi game.
Wabi Sabi is a fashion style for Japan. It's not just fashion, but just artistic in general.
Well, appropriately, it's a sci-fi game about graffiti artists, and it is coming out summer of 2024. An update for Raven's Watch called Fall of Avalon is coming out on April 22nd, so very soon. RPG The Last Spell, a tactical game, is getting some DLC called Dwarves of Runenburg, and that comes out on April 24th. Cat Quest 3, it's coming, and it's going to have more than three cats, and apparently some ghosts. Why Cat Quest has ghosts? Shut up and play
the
game.
What else are the cats going to stare at?
Shut up and play the game. All right. Brotato is getting DLC, Abyssal Terrors. That's right. Now you're taking the Brotato underwater. Couch Co-op is also coming this summer at some point. Yeah, the announcements still coming. Behind the Throne, the historical strategy game Old World, gets this expansion coming on May 28th. Pow World showed up in this because Pow World is still, I mean, despite its rampant success, is considered an indie. And the Arena multiplayer made a little teaser in the showcase and is coming out this year. That won't make Nintendo upset whatsoever. 33 Immortals is moving into a closed beta on May 24th. Wizard of Legend 2. Oh, I remember playing the first one of these. That is had some more footage shown, some gameplay, but no date of that just yet. And then Laesara Summit Kingdom came out in early access as of the announcement. It's a mountain city builder, and it was a stealth drop for this. We also got the crossover DLC Rising Castlevania. That's right, Castlevania DLC for V Rising. You can battle, or no, I think you get to play as Simon Belmont, and I don't know how that all works, but that is out on May 8th. Never Alone 2. You might remember Never Alone was a very artistic game that was showcasing indigenous culture, and this sequel is coming out, which is very cool. And I don't know if you would really consider this indie because it's published by Ubisoft, but I think it's because of the brand. The Dead Cells developers have announced The Rogue Prince of Persia, a roguelite that combines wall running with Arkham-style agile combat. Very interesting. So it's Prince of Persia meets Dead Cells. That sounds really cool. That was an awful lot, wasn't it? And that was a heck of a showcase. So congrats to the Triple I Initiative on turning some real heads this week with those announcements. All right. Well, that was it for all the stories we had slotted tonight. We'll see if there's last minute stories, but first we're going to go to the listener roundtable. If you have some extra questions you want to ask, put them in chat. You bump them if I haven't seen them yet. Sorry, you guys have been very chatty tonight, which I deeply appreciate. I love you all for being here. We've had, obviously, the landmark episode number. We have more viewers tonight than we often have. So thank you, thank you. It is making it a little harder to stay on top of chat. Yes, you all are appreciated. Thank you, thank you. Dark Tatsuya says, I did really dig Dead Cells, so I'm kind of intrigued about their take on Prince of Persia. Oh, for sure. It looked really interesting. All right. I think we do have some emails tonight. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com is the place to send emails, and we have some tonight, believe it or not.
That we do. We have an entire two of them, which is 1,000% more than we normally have.
That's right.
So at any rate, if the email will freaking open, please open. Email. Thank you. All right. We ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, LR. I was hoping to have something special to announce for this very special occasion, like a two-player deathmatch sequel to Pixel Poops called Pixel Poops Double Duty, or the Tempest-inspired spinoff that Jamie asked for called Vectords, or perhaps some other unannounced future classic. But since I've been laser focused on my super multitasking project, I haven't had time for much else. So I'll just say congratulations on reaching this super amazing milestone. And also thank you for the massive amount of effort required to bring us the show over these last 22-ish years. I think I can speak for many of your devoted fan base when I say we will gladly sit around your dinner table with you as long as you'll keep inviting us out. Thank you, and thank you again. I don't want to take up too much time tonight, but I'll leave you with this. Maybe there'll be talk about how old the show is, how old you all are, and so on. Well, speaking of old, last night at Coachella, No Doubt came out on stage, and they put on one of the greatest sets that the festival has ever seen. Gwen Stefani bounced around the stage and belted out the hits just like she was in her 20s. And you have never guessed that she is, in fact, 54 years old. But she's a shining example of being young at heart, just like the three of you. And OLR is great listening every week, as good as it's ever been. So thanks again and stay young at heart. And if you get the chance, seriously, check out the replay of the No Doubt set. It's so, so good. Have a great week, and thanks 1,000 times over, Aaron YYR.
Yeah, very good call out about Gwen Stefani and, you know, age being just a number. I saw Gwen in her Vegas show, I think 2019. So it was 5 years ago, but still, you know, she was pushing 50 at that point, and, you know, very high energy show. It was great. You know, when I think about, like, artists, you know, that are what some would consider old, that are still doing very, very high energy stuff, Madonna. You look at the clips from her tour and everything she's doing, and she's doing that like every other night for months. It's damn impressive. She's 65 and doing what she's doing. It's fucking impressive. You know, there's that. I also think about...
all of her joints are officially made of titanium and mallet rubber.
Yeah. Well, and then, of course, Cher, for God's sakes. you know, she might not really be dancing in the same, but the fact that she does what she does, she's in her 70s.
Of course, she's Cher.
I'm Cher, bitch. Yeah, I just, she's fantastic. So, yeah, you're never too old, right?
To paraphrase Chad Michaels, I honestly think she has an IV of La Mer.
Oh, yeah. Fifth Dream points out Trent Reznor is pushing 60 and Robert Smith is. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. And thank you, YYR. Thank you for, you know, obviously we talked a little bit about the indie games.
Cher is an immortal, not a Highlander. Highlanders are from Scotland.
No announcement needed. Yeah, no.
DJ Ron Bass.
No announcement needed, YYR. I know you're working very hard and juggling all the facets of your life, and I can't wait for the super multitasking update. And yeah, thank you for your support and making OLR dreams literally making them a reality. We owe you an awful lot of thanks for that. And we're so excited when we see the success that your games have. They ought to be bigger, quite frankly, but we enjoy seeing the success that is out there. So. SG100 Matt says, I'm going to see Pink in October. I think Pink is still in her 40s. She's probably about our age. Probably in her 40s. With Sheryl Crow. I think Sheryl Crow is about around 60. And guess. Yeah. Some good stuff out there. All right. We have another email.
One more email.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, actually, another one popped in. I just saw the inbox pop. So, dear OLR, I want to give you a big congrats on reaching 1,000 episodes. I remember listening back when jokes were made about making it this long, and I had no doubt y'all would, no doubt. Even back during the 7th anniversary when you played Anniversary from Para Para Paradise while listening to congratulatory voicemails, I felt like this was such a special podcast that I never wanted to end. But also, I was just jamming hard to that song.
I should have done that again. Oh, well.
Ooh.
For the birthday. Sorry.
This show has been such a comfort and constant for me throughout my life. I want to honestly thank Jamie, Loki, and Rob for the time you've put into this. I'll be here to celebrate when Orange Lounge Radio hits 2,000 episodes as well.
Glad you'll be alive.
A question I have is, do you plan on having any special guest interviews in the near future? The Kyle Ward episode comes to mind. Thanks, and I love y'all, Garth Wolf.
That's a great question, and something we haven't really pursued in the COVID or post-COVID, whatever you want to call it, the COVID era of our show. You know, where we are virtual now and, you know, we don't really have a studio at this point anymore, which was fine because when we did interviews before, we always did them over Skype or something else. And I kind of was like, well, this format, you know, I wasn't sure how well it would lend itself to guests, but I think we really should be open to that. I would love to have guests on this show. I wasn't sure how I felt about having a stunt guest for the 1,000th episode of the show because I just kind of like, I feel like it should be about y'all and us, but I would. Yeah, of course. I would love to have some guests on the show. Who do y'all want to see? Who do you want to see come in?
Cher.
I don't think she'd return our calls, to be quite honest. Realistically, who would you want? And yeah, a lot of people in chat are calling out Kyle Ward. Yeah, yeah, that was a great interview, obviously. That was a while ago. I'd love to.
DD Arcoholic made a good point, too. I saw Stevie Nicks a few months ago. Still sings exactly as she did in her 20s, and she's in her 70s now. Oh, and I'm myself 54 and still playing music games. Anyone want to challenge me in Beat Saber? I'm pretty good for 54.
Nah, I love that. I love that.
And yeah, it's all that, and that, and Stevie Nicks is a goddess that graces us by walking this earth among us.
Stevie Nicks is a great example too. Shit.
That's what I just read.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I didn't think of that before. That's great. So. Yeah, but, yes to guests. And, you know, to be fair, we had a guest host here a few weeks ago. So why couldn't we? You know, we had Rami fill in when Loki was out. We can have a guest. So it's just a matter of it can be hard to get people to be here at this very specific time.
Marissa, tell Greg to come back.
So, yeah, I mean, if there's something to promote, but I will say this 100%, I'm drawing a line to this. No Kickstarters or anything like it, unless I'm willing to maybe consider, but certainly not guaranteeing, if the product is already finished and the Kickstarter is publishing costs, I'm maybe going to consider it, but I will never have another Kickstarter campaign on this show that isn't like a shippable product already. So that's all right.
There's one more.
One more. Oh, we got a yeah. Just this, someone in yeah. chat said they just yeah. Go ahead.
As I said, it had popped up while I was about to read Garth Wolf's. Ah. Dear OLR, it's your girl Mishi.
Mishi.
Short and sweet email. Just wanted to say congrats on your 1,000th show. Keep them coming. Sincerely, Mishikins.
I'll take it.
Thank you, Mishi.
I'll take it. Short and sweet like a fortune cookie. I am perfect. I love it.
I want a fortune cookie now, though.
You're fucked. Uh-oh.
We don't have a fortune cookie message anymore.
Oh, yeah. That used to be a thing on this show, wasn't it? That was fun.
Yeah, it was an after the credits thing, but I don't stay for after the credits anymore because yeah. I got Debbie's to play.
Yeah, Twitch streaming to do. All right.
Yeah, I also need another soda.
All right, I am going to open up the green room over at our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is the place if you want to join us. And while we wait to see if anyone wants to call, I am going to check in with Loki for last minute stories.
Sure, there's one. So there's a cute little story about game designer Aaron Pickeroon, who apparently proposed to his fiance via a playdate game that he made. So that was kind of cute. Essentially, it was a game that was a platformer game, and then you would get these different letters. Well, it's called Love Letter. And so you get these different letters, and each one would put a letter up on the board, and then it ended up with, will you marry me at the end? So, pretty cute. And of course, she said yes.
Aw. I still kind of want to get a play date. This looks so cute. All right, we have some calls waiting in the green room. Let's get to it. Again, vognetwork.com/discord if you want to give us a call, but we will get to our first call tonight. Hello, hello. You are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Oh, hey, everybody. It's the one and only DJ Ranma S. How is everybody doing tonight?
I feel complete now, because if we went 1,000 episodes and you did not fucking call in for the 1,000th episode, I would be like, something is missing. Something is missing tonight. There's an absence. I feel something is missing in the air, and now you're here.
Look, motherfucker, let me tell you something.
I mean
something.
It. It's, I'm like...
had to.
How are you?
I'm good, despite the chaos of my life the last
Rama,
72 hours.
I'm sorry, Rama,
good.
We're gonna hang up on you because we have a cat. We have a Midna is making an appearance on the show now. I know the podcasters can't see her, but we have Midna is on the show, and therefore DJ Rama S has been bumped. Good night. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
But we love you. See Midna. Yes, I've heard you've been going through a lot, Rama, so I don't know what to offer other than thoughts and prayers, but please take them.
And you know what?
But well,
I'm thinking that
here's the thing. In the gay agenda, we have gotten rid of thoughts and prayers and replaced them with rainbows and sparkles. So enjoy some rainbows and sparkles and good luck.
Well, I'm definitely all for that. Everything is just going to work out the way it is. It's just me having to grind a little bit harder.
Yep.
That's all. That's
I hear. Nice. I hear. Yeah. Get mm-hmm. get back on that pole. Just kidding. All right, what'd you want to call in to talk about tonight?
Well, I don't want to talk about what's been what y'all discussed, but I want to say on behalf of Anime Jam Session, Ari Rockefeller, Mako-chan, Barry, Senna, everyone, happy 1,000th. We love to see it.
Hell yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, who from Anime Jam Session will be administering the 1,000 spankings?
Hold on.
That sounds like a team effort.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
That will be me.
Damn, I was hoping it would be Patty. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, if you ask nicely, she will, because she has a cat of nine tails.
Okay. Oh, good.
She's more through. Merciless than I am.
Nine at a time, we'll get through it a lot faster.
Hold on.
All right.
I'm just going to say right now.
Oh.
That
I have two.
All of you nasties.
I was just hanging out with
either of these things.
Mm-hmm. I got it from the little teeny leather alley during Sac Pride.
The fact I'm just saying, I just came back from an outing with a bunch of dirty-minded people, and there was somebody there selling these things, which I almost dropped money on, but other things have come up, but you know.
Yeah. Well,
I used to have a yaoi paddle somewhere.
Oh, Doc Zocker, I don't know if you knew, but somebody tried to bring them back.
What?
And what happened was there was a cease and desist from the original creator saying, no, we're not bringing them back. Wow. And the only reason why he created one for Kickstarter, because he never had an opportunity to get one, so he decided to crowdfund one.
I've had mine from like 2000.
Let's just say there's a reason why you can't find yaoi paddles at conventions anymore.
Oh, boy. All right.
Fair.
I didn't mean for this call to devolve into yaoi chat, but thank you very much to the cast and crew from Anime Jam Session, which, I mean, you guys are new, freshly bloomed podcast on the block yourselves. You've been doing this quite some time, and that's a success you all should take delight in over at Anime Jam Session.
And we do. And, you know, I get up and I do this. I have a science down to it, and I love it. I enjoy it. When I go to conventions and I hand out cards and I hear from people, oh, I listen to you guys. I watch you. It makes me feel appreciated. At least there's somebody that knows who we are and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And my inbox with cosplayers saying, can I get a copy of my photos? And I send them like, oh, thank you. It just makes me, I feel like I've done my part coming in. I'm just paying it forward. Let everyone have their time.
Yeah.
You know?
Love it. All right, Warama, we're going to let you go so we can make sure we get in all the people. Oh, nope. I'm so sorry. You know what? I'm leaving. How could I possibly fucking... Nope, you can't see me. I'm gone. Because how could I fucking leave out the toast? I have my apologies. 1,000 apologies for 1,000 episodes, Rama.
I didn't have time to make myself a gin and tonic. Sorry.
Look, I just got brought from the husband. Thank you, husband. A coffee. Because I made puppy dog eyes. So I'm ready to... There's no Baileys in this, but I will still partake in the toast. Rama, please.
I have to get some special water.
Wait,
I won't...
Listeners, get your shit together. Listeners, get your... It does not have to be an alcoholic beverage, unless you want it to be.
It doesn't have to be.
Just get the nearest beverage. Hydrate, you stupid bitch. Get something nearby.
Hydrate or dehydrate. Simple as that.
This is your reminder to hydrate. All right, hydrate along... With Rama, the floor is yours.
To 1,000 episodes of Orange Lounge Radio, to Rob, to Jamie, to Matt. Here's to you, here's to me, the best of friends and podcasters will ever be. If we should ever happen to disagree, well then, fuck you, and here's to me.
I have one too. A classic. Who's Like Us? Damn few. And they've all been canceled.
Which reminds me, Jamie, you should watch the there's a surprise on the end credits that you might like.
End credits?
Mm-hmm. There's something there that I kind of snuck in. I know you leave early, but I kind of threw something in there.
Rama decided to give us a little treat for 1,000th episode, so stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. My toast, I'm gonna toast a Pop-Tart, a bagel, a crumpet, a tortilla, a Pop-Tart, a toast, okay?
Yay, carbs.
To absent friends. No, to the haters. To all of you out there who posted on the internet that this show was never going to get as far as it, that this show was so bad we had no right being on the internet, that this show was that we were so ill-informed on the industry we would never get past a certain episode, that we don't know what the fuck we're ever talking about. To all of the haters out there, I drink your tears.
And aren't they delicious?
Mm-hmm. A little salty.
Thank you for that spite. That's motivated us for 1,000 episodes. Your tears of stupidity are delicious. I'm going to have another drink.
It's a shame. I actually, I was drinking out of my salty survivor tears. I'm going to make a sequel to that for us.
Loki, that just leaves you. You want to do a toast?
No, I don't know what the toast.
Okay. All right. Rama, all right. Now I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, friend. And until next time. All right.
Take care of yourselves and each other.
Good night, my friend.
Bye.
All right. Let's bring in somebody else. Hello. You are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Brad from Pod Culture.
Brad from Pod Culture. Oh, my gosh. Hello. Hello. How are you? It's good to hear from you, my friend.
Hey, I'm just calling in to say congrats on 1,000 episodes. I'm not sure why my camera's not coming through. I sent it up, but oh well.
Well, welcome to the lovely world of fucking Discord problems. It happens. That's all right. Well,
oh, here's the button.
Nope.
Why hello there.
Why is this so funny?
What the hell I'm doing?
Oops, here's the button. I think it's so funny because, Brad, you're the one that always gives us shit. Whenever one of us goes, we're old, I'm old, you're the first one to pop up and say, shut the fuck up, basically, right? And Pod Culture, I'm sorry, you just exacerbated old man right there. Oh, there's the button.
I am old.
No, it's great. We love it. We love it. So,
no, I just want to say congrats on 1,000 episodes. And, you know, I made a point in chat earlier. It's, you guys have birth shows, and y'all were a huge influence on our show. Yeah. And we didn't even make it half that long.
but you know what? You did. You had a damn impressive run. A damn impressive run. So. You know, and you know, I know sometimes you like to tease. Maybe I'm gonna get the band back together someday. If ABBA can do a new album after like 40 fucking years, maybe, just maybe.
We'll have to talk off camera because it's okay. It will have to be something like what you've done post pandemic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Discord does make it possible, but you do have to use the button.
Gotta get used to using the damn.
All right, practice makes perfect. All right, Brad, any other thoughts for us tonight before we get to another...
y'all have a good one.
All right, take care, my friend.
No, not one. Just wanted to say congrats.
All right, I appreciate you, friend. Take care. Have a good one.
See you later.
Bye bye.
He's out.
Great to hear from our friend Brad as well. All right, we have somebody else. Who knew? People wanted to call in tonight. I know, right? This is great. I love it. Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is SSJ100 Matt.
It is great to hear from you, SSJ100 Matt. How are you?
Hello.
I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Hello.
To whatever do we owe this phone call tonight? Oh, look. You found the button.
Boop your puppy on the snoop.
I found the button, yes.
You did. You found the button. Why are the wrong cameras showing up? Oh, well, I don't know.
Because of reasons.
What's wrong? All right. Maybe I think I have to reorder people here for it to work. All right. We'll figure that out. In the meantime, what is on your mind, my friend?
Well, you know, like everybody else, I'm coming to give you guys your flowers for just a wonderful milestone of hitting 1,000 episodes.
Does giving us our flowers involve singing the Miss America theme song while we walk the stage?
No. Oh, no. I am damn no it. Performer. That's all you.
Okay.
I'm no performer. But no, just the show, you know, has just been so special to all of us listeners that, you know, like, and I think like one of the great things about the show is that, you know, the community that we've kind of fostered over these many, many years. And just want to thank you all for that and just all the great vibes you've kind of given us over the years. And and like I don't even know how long I'm wearing this shirt.
Oh my God. For the podcast folks, it is an original, an OG DDR Freak t-shirt From DDR. That's
one of the secondary DDR freak shirts.
Still,
you're probably right. Yes,
the fact
the old one was the person on the dance pad silhouette.
Okay, but still, the fact that it hasn't broken up after being washed is after all this time is impressive as fuck. That's amazing.
I don't even have one of those anymore.
Yeah. So like, I had like a bunch of these that like I've just like worn a bunch, and like I recently found like I think this is like my last remaining one that I had like in storage like during a move, but yes, this shirt is a relic like all of us, and we all belong in a museum.
Oh man, I remember being a moderator over there and just some of the fun times we had as mods.
Yes but no, just I am a loss for words. No, just again, just thank you all for just having just this, creating this great show and doing all you do to keep it going for just this long and just bringing us joy every single week.
Well, thank you all for being an audience too. And on behalf, you're just representing our listenership right now. Thank you all for being an outlet and being willing to listen to it, for God's sake. Participating along with it, helping us drive this silly bus into Tangentville over and over again. And the things, you know, obviously there's the bits and subs and all of that is very lovely. The clips, and I know you specifically, Matt, make clips, which is great. Great way to promote streams and all that. Just showing that love right back is just so, so meaningful, and just really appreciate it. It's just the fuel of literally 1,000 fires. So
yes,
appreciate it.
And, you know, it's like we've all become friends over the years, and that's been great. And just like meeting in person, someday I'll get out there. Someday I'll get out to Dragon Con. But until then, we have each other. We have the chat room. We have the Discord. We have the show.
And there'll be some gay old musical. I got to come see you in New York at some point. So I'm always. You relocated, right? You're not actually there anymore, right?
Yeah, but it's. You know,
it's just a train ride away. Just a train ride away.
That's right. Yeah.
I was supposed to head out that way, and then COVID happened.
Yeah.
So,
of course.
Yep.
Because I still need to go to some of those Crown Heights delis that are on my list.
All right. Some matzo ball soup. Good to hit some diners. Get a knish.
Yep. Oh, now you're making me hungry. I haven't had a good knish since Cantor's in LA.
I will say though, some cities I am coming to visit soon. I'm going to be in Chicago at the end of May. I'm going to be in Atlanta for Dragon Con, of course. That's a must. And I will be in. So here's the interesting thing. While both of my co-hosts are at TwitchCon, I will be in Seattle. So that's the way it works sometimes. So.
This is the Rob Roberts tour.
Yeah, my little tour. That's wondering. Right. And look for me on the street corner, twerking against the pole. Yep, that's right. All right. Matt, thank you so much for calling in for the kudos. We appreciate it. It's so great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Yeah. Take care.
All right. Take care, Matt.
Bye.
Have a good one. All right. How lovely to hear from everybody tonight. We appreciate that. That's it for calls in the green room. I will say, of course, you can always join our Discord throughout the week. Say hello. We appreciate it. VogNetwork.com/Discord is the place to go. With that, let me also just check in one more time. Any other last minute stories we didn't get to yet?
Nope.
Mm. Welp, then with that, I think we close up our 1,000th episode. But
can you believe it?
I know. I kind of, it's weird. I can and I can't. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's just like, I don't remember the other 999 episodes. So it feels so surreal in some ways. But at the same time, it's also like, this show and this community, everything has been here like so long that I'm like, okay, yeah, this is that we made it to that checkpoint, I guess, to use a gaming reference. We made it to that checkpoint and now we're on to the next lap, you know? And the race is not going to go on forever. And I think we need to accept and understand that, but you know, we can use this opportunity for 1,000 episodes to kind of go, damn, this has really been an incredible run, and it's really because of to toot our own horn, the dedication the three of us have had to making this happen every week there. That we should recognize all of you for, as I said to Matt, being that fuel that really helps this fire keep going. So thank you. They really can't thank you enough. With that, at the end of every episode, and this will be no different, I always say thank you for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard here on the show, help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices to put out on air. So tell a friend or two a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube now. Wherever it is that you found this show, it goes an awful long way. So appreciate it. And with that, we'll go around to get the final thoughts before we are back in 7 days. Yes, we are, to do episode number 1001. Thank you for a great turnout tonight. We do this every week, y'all know. But no, I appreciate those that made the space this week. I really, really do. Thank you all. And yes, that is a promise and a threat. We will be back next week for episode number 1001. Until then, let's get to our last minute thoughts. You know what I mean. Look, 4 digits, it's like Y2K. Things are going to malfunction. The Y2K virus has made the odometer in my brain malfunction, and I'm combining words, melting down. Let's go to final thoughts. Dark Sakura, your final thought tonight.
I'll go there. Reject false icons.
Thank you. Have a great stream. We'll still see you in a little bit. All right.
Yep. Bye. Come hang out with me.
All right.
Bye.
Loki, that means we'll go to you. What is your final thought tonight?
I don't know. Go subscribe to my YouTube channel, I guess. Loki Olar.
And then my final thought tonight is thank you so much for the generosity from the live folks. I really appreciate the hype train we had earlier and all that. And I see more bits coming in now. Thank you so much. It really does mean the world. It's nice to know that someone gives a shit. It really is. And I think it's okay to say that. It's nice to know that someone gives a shit. So thank you for giving a shit. Whether you started this week or started 1,000 episodes ago, thank you for making this show what it is. We made history, everybody, together. Good night. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.